Blog Talk Radio.
We're here live tonight, and Thursday night, good to be with you. We're going to take communion tonight, so make sure you get your communion ready there. All right. So, yeah, it's going to be good. We'll believe God for to continue to bless us, to continue to open us up to His will, His purpose, and all that. You know, we need all that, right? I need all that. I want the rewards. I want everything. I want it all. Well, I don't know why we say we don't want the reward. Oh, I'm not really doing it for the reward, but that's one of the reasons you're in it. Or at least it ought to be. What's the big deal about that? I don't know, but I used to say the same thing. I did. I really did. I mean, I'm guilty of it, I must say. I must say I'm guilty of that one. And the Lord says, you guilty of that? I go, yeah, I know. What's wrong with all that? No, we just talk ourselves into stuff and talk ourselves out of stuff, actually. A lot of the times, because when you start saying you don't want something that's in the Word of God, even if you're trying to be all humble and pious, what is it? It's false piety. It's false humility. It's not real humility. Real humility is saying, I want everything God has for me, right? Why would that be pride to say you want everything God wants for you? If you want everything what you want and everything's yours, I could see how that could be pride and arrogance, you know? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We all done it. I've done it. We've all done it. I still catch myself thinking, am I doing this for the rewards? And I have to start asking myself the question out of the Word of God. So we're going to talk about that here a little bit about that, and just kind of like, just give us something to think about. I'm not really, you know, I'm not criticizing anybody, maybe except myself, because, you know, we believe a lot of weird things and we wonder why we're not blessed. Right? We're sitting there saying, you know, we don't want something God says we want. I'm going to show you how He says He wants to give it to us and tonight. So as we're going to talk about that a little bit. We may talk about other things too, but hopefully you listened to last night. We talked about Russia and what God showed me about the Russia invasion, you know, words that are coming forth, and kind of gave some, you know, reasoning with the Lord on that, some words from the Lord and information on that. So go back and listen to that if you get a chance, if you haven't heard it yet. I talk about how that, you know, I just kind of laid it out in a different way, probably than you never heard. I've never heard it like that before. The Holy Spirit woke me up on Monday morning, I believe. It was Monday morning early, like in the middle of the night, actually, early in the morning. And sort of just, you know, I call it preaching. He's not really preaching, but when he talks, when he gets really, excited is the right word, passionate about something, it's like he's preaching to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He does it to you too, right? He does it to all of us. You know, and sometimes he just talks to me. Sometimes he just shows me things. Sometimes it's like he's preaching to me. But preaching is like one of God's way of communicating. So I think he likes to preach. I think the Holy Spirit likes preaching. I think that's why preachers like to preach. There's something about it, man, that's just amazing. So the Holy Spirit, he's the same way. He's really cool. All right, so hopefully you're in the Word of God, and you like the Word of God, you enjoy the Word of God. If you enjoy the Word of God, then you got to live by the Word of God, right? Right? We're going to live by the Word. That's what we're trying to do. And so we got to find all these things. One thing we're on a path to doing is the Year of Treasures, right? If you got my card, a postcard I sent out to everybody that we have their address, and that has given. If you've given, you've got a card. So, because we have your address, and you partake of the giving part. So those are our friends and our partners, if you will, in the giving realm. So if you got that card, you know that we're declaring this year the Year of Treasures, right? 2022, the Year of Treasures. Isaiah 22:22 talks about the treasures of the house of David. David was a very wealthy man because he was a warrior, right? He went and fought the Philistines. And whoever stood in the way of the Lord, I mean, David fought them. He was a warrior for God, and because of that, he had a lot of, you know, when you go to war and you defeat an army, you take what that army has, you know, their wealth, whether it's a city or a nation, you go in and you take their wealth, just like what happened with Nebuchadnezzar when he came in and took down Israel, you know, tore down the temple, he took the treasures. That's what you do. And so David did the same thing when he went into all these, you know, the temples, all these. What's amazing is that all these countries had some type of religion. I don't know why people don't like, think the religion thing is so bad. I mean, it can be, but every nation has gods and temples and all kinds of things. And yet we act like it's just, you know, like, wow, you know, why is religion so important? Well, because man is made, to serve God. We're made to be connected to God because we came from God and we're going back to God, right? Yeah, so we learn that every nation, every country, that's why the Antichrist is going to be able to fool a lot of people because he's going to mess with them about their religion, and he's going to call himself, you know, God, and he's going to be a religious man himself in some form. All right, so when David went in and tore down the temples, you know, of these foreign gods, you know, Philistines, whoever they were, he took the gold and the silver from, you know, the temples, just like when they tore down God's temple, you know. They took the gold. Could you imagine that ransacking Solomon's temple, what that was like? I mean, dude, he put that thing together like, wow, it was amazing. There was gold, silver, brass everywhere. I mean, it was amazing. And people have a problem. See, that's what I said. People have a problem with wealth. You know, I've had a problem. I've had a problem with wealth. You know, I always thought, some of the things that we judge people of, and we reap those judgments, because somebody one night asked, I think it was Donald from Florida asked me, so what are some of the judgments we would have to make ourselves poor? And, you know, I gave a little bit of one, but one of them is that we curse the wealthy because, you know, they're all a bunch of thieves. Well, how do we know they're a bunch of thieves? You know, I'm sure some of them are, but how do you know they all are? Abraham wasn't a thief, right? Job wasn't a thief. And there's a lot of other wealthy people, godly men, that were godly. So when we say, when we think in our hearts, out of the abundance of the heart we speak, when we speak that, what are we doing? We're judging them, therefore we reap poverty. You know, so we need to, you know, ask God to forgive us for judging every rich person, or some of the ones we don't even know. We're judging them as being, you know, surely they got it by stealing and cheating and lying, surely. You know, because that's what that they do. Of course, do some of them do that? Of course they do. But how dare we judge somebody who's gained his wealth righteously, and we're sitting there thinking, you know, you just got your, somehow you had to be lying and cheating and stealing and robbing somebody, right? So what do? We judge them unrighteously, and what happens to us? We reap poverty ourselves. And a lot of it is that we are afraid of wealth. I think we're afraid of it. I think, you know, even in Israel, got blessed, they strayed from God, but there's so many people that didn't stray from God. I mean, Abraham didn't stray from God. He was extremely wealthy. You know, Job didn't stray from God. He was extremely wealthy too. And Jesus had plenty of money coming in. Could you imagine if you know anything about ministries that have had miracles in them, like Captain Cullen for one, and others, Benny Hinn and others, that the miracles that came in, you know, people would send those healing evangelists, whoever they were, they would send them the money that they were going to spend years in the hospital for being years on medical devices. And now they didn't have the medical device anymore. So they said, well, you know, we're going to take that $20,000 and put it into your ministry. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We could have spent more, but here's $20,000. You know, and so could you imagine in Jesus' days how many miracles he had going on, how many people gave money to him? I mean, they gave money to him like crazy. That's why he had Judas. Judas was a very good And Matthew was a tax collector, you know, so he was familiar with money. But, you know, they had to have a lot of money. You know, so did Jesus do wrong with money? Did he get his, you know, no, Judas, who kept it, kind of did. He stole, right? Yeah, so he was dead. So you'd be right to judge him. But, so the whole point, friend, is that we have a problem with wealth because we think that people who have it are crooked somehow. And so we've made those judgments. So what do? We reap poverty just simply because we falsely judge every person. And generally we think we see a wealthy person. The first thing we think about most of the time is how they probably got it in an ungodly fashion, right? I think that's what most people do. You know, they probably stole it from the poor Mexican people or the poor black people or the poor white people or the poor somebody probably selling drugs. You know, for you know, they could have been, for all we know, they could have been given to the poor and the needy, and they didn't sit around saying, God, I don't want the rewards from that. They were probably saying, God, I want the rewards from all that. Yeah. They probably weren't tied up with religious nonsense saying, oh, I'm not doing it for the rewards, which is what I've said, you know. It probably you too. I think we've all said that, right? So I have to understand. I'm not jumping down anybody's throat at all, but I am saying that we've got to. God is. This is the year of treasure, 2022, and so what we're doing is God is going to show us the ways that we're stopping our treasures from coming in. We get so holy, we think holy is being poor. When Job was holy, he was very holy. He was extremely filthy, stinking rich. Abraham was extremely holy. He's the father of faith. He was a filthy rich. So why don't we look to them and judge them? The way they got blessed was through God, and mean it in a good way. Oh, they just got it through God. Yeah, hallelujah. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Job, oh yeah, he got his wealth. How'd he get his wealth? Well, he got it from God. You know, and are you trying to say you're criticizing that? No, I'm saying hallelujah. This is amazing. I'm judging him righteously, saying he got his money from God. God blessed him. Oh, okay. So you're judging him righteously. So guess what? You're going to be blessed because you're not going to tie yourself up by saying, oh, I'm not doing it for the rewards. I'm going to give you some scripture in a second. Let's hang on. I'm not doing it for the rewards, you know. Well, you could probably say that's not the only reason that I'm doing it, right? You could probably say that safely. That's not the only reason I'm doing it, but you need to say it's part of the reason because you know what? It's in the Bible that God says I'm going to reward those who diligently seek me. So if God says he's going to do it and you and I are sitting there saying, well, you know, I'll let that religious twisted sister come on me and say, I'm not doing it at all for rewards at all. No, not at all. Never do that. No, I'm holy. I'm godly. I'm poor, but I ain't doing my stuff for Jesus for rewards. I'm sure not doing it for that at all. I mean, no, I'm just doing it because I want to do it. Well, we'll do it because we want to do it. That's a good thing. But you know, the Bible says he's going to reward you. So you're going to reject the rewards, you and I. Yeah, he says, God says, I'm going to reward those who diligently seek me. So what are we doing? What are we talking about? You know what we're doing? We're tying our hands. Because number one, we're coming out of agreement with the Word of God, right? If the Word of God says something and we're coming out of agreement saying, I think you could safely say if that's not the only reason I'm doing it. That's the only safe thing you can say. And most of the time we're saying we're not doing it for the rewards. We mean at all. Oh, that is not my motive, nor is it my intention, right? So I talked the other night about this a little bit because God's kind of given me some ways to think about it and to teach on it. So if you get married, you know, are you just getting married? If a man or woman came up, if your husband to be or your wife to be came up to you and said, now, are you just marrying me for children? Huh? Are you? Are you just marrying me for children? Well, no. Well, are you marrying me? You're marrying me. What are you marrying me for, my money? You marry me for me? What are you marrying me for? No, honey, I'm just marrying you for you, baby doll. That's it, just for you. You mean you don't have any thought in your head about having children with me? And you go, no, I would never do that. No, I'm just marrying you for you, honey. You know, you're so wonderful and everything. Oh, Jesus, help me. This is some of the stuff I get. This kind of, it, the way he explains it to me, like going, Randy, wake up. Wake up. You know, you're letting Twisted Sister twist things around. Yeah, so yeah, I think it's fair to say we can say we're not doing it just for the reward. Like, you're not getting married. Well, I think some people are getting married just for the children, but I think very few. I think most people are, some women and some men will marry their to-be husband or wife for the money. You know, that's why they have prenuptial agreements, right? Yeah, so they take care of that. They take care of, they've got it set up in the law where they take care of that thing in case you're just marrying just for money. They have a prenuptial agreement where it says, all the money I have right now, none of it's going to be yours, right? And then if we divorce, 10% of what I make from my company that I had before you married me, and women have companies too, and men have companies, so both sides, that you get a 10% of my company's earnings for being my wife, that's it. You know, and I mean, you hear people do that all the time. So it kind of breaks up that thing of the only reason I'm getting married. Well, I don't know. I don't think God does that, though. I don't think God says, we're going to have a prenuptial agreement here. And just in case you're, you know, wanting me just for the rewards, I think we're going to set up a prenuptial agreement here. I have it in my, and it's not in the word, but we can put it in the word for you if you want. And so, you know, yeah, well, you got to do that? No. No, you're not going to do that. I see that. All right, let's look at this thing. Okay, so what are you going to do with the rewards? You're going to keep them for yourself? When you get the rewards that you say you don't really not doing it for, when you get the rewards that you're not really doing it for, then why would you even say that unless you're going to keep the rewards for your selfish self, right? If you're going to keep the rewards for your selfish little self and pocket it in your back pocket and not tell anybody, not do anything with it for God, and for anybody else, it's just for all for you, for your greedy little self, if you were greedy, and I'm not saying you're greedy, but you'd have to be your greedy little self to just say, I don't want to, you know, God rewards me, I'm not doing it for the rewards. Okay, then when you get rewarded, so why would you say that unless you're thinking, if you got the rewards, you're going to keep it all for yourself? That's the only reason you would really want to think that is like, yeah, I'm only going to keep the rewards for myself, so I'm not doing it just for that. But when I get them, I will. Is that what we're thinking? I don't think so. I don't think anybody's thinking that. But so we got to think about this. Let's start thinking about this stuff reasonably. Why are we doing this? Well, it's partially for the reward. I'm the reward of heaven. I got saved because I needed to be saved. But you know, I didn't get saved just to go to heaven. But you know, I did in a sense because I want to go to heaven. So anything wrong with wanting to go to heaven? If you just get saved just to go to heaven, Randy, I'm sorry. We're going to have a prenuptial agreement that if that's all you want from me, well, we ain't going to have none of that. Well, that's not the only reason I'm getting saved, Jesus. But, you know, I mean, you know, I want to be with you forever, so that would be nice. Heaven would be good, yeah. So when it comes to rewards, why are we saying that we're not doing it just for that? Is it because if we're doing it just for that, we're going to take all of it, all the reward for ourselves? Is that what we're saying? No, the greedy part of me says, no, I'm not doing it for that. Right? You're not going to be giving some of those rewards away, or you're going to keep them all for yourself. That'd be a good reason to say you're not doing it just for that. But we've got to get this thing lined out. I think God really wants to help us stop the year 2022, the year of treasures, to unlock those things that are keeping us with our own heart, with our own belief system, with our own twisted sister, where twisted sister has got in there and twisted us and twisted the word of God, trying to make us think, no, we're not in it for the rewards. No, nope, not at all. Not for that. No, nope, I'm just in it for love of Jesus. I'm just getting married just because I love Billy Bob or Susanna. Yeah. No, I don't want any children. You know, you're lying. Unless you really don't want children. If you want children at all, one of the reasons you're getting married is because you someday want to have children, right? The rewards of marriage is children. Well, I'm not getting married just for that. But you got it on your mind. Why? Because it's just part of what God says marriage is about. Just like he says doing something for him, there's rewards for that. So you're going to say, well, I'm not really going to do it just I'm not going to do it for that. Oh, then you're just going to spend all the reward on your greedy little self. You see, that's what that makes us look like. And I'm not saying that's what we're doing. I'm not saying that's what we believe. But that's what it sounds like. If you're going to do the rewards for your greedy little self, then I could see why you'd wouldn't want anybody to know you're not going to you're not doing it for the rewards. You see what I'm saying? Y'all remember the prayer that I told you I had people pray? God had me pray. It was a hard prayer to pray. But when it came to praying with people, when I went to this one church, and they had a lot of a lot of men's prayer groups. And I was part of the men's prayer group because I'm a prayer warrior. I've always been a prayer warrior, right? So I'm part of the men's prayer group. And the Lord told me, you know, he taught me already, and I've been praying this for a while, that he said, Randy, I want you to pray that you work less and make more. Because it's the blessing of what happened, you know, what God did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They worked less, they didn't sweat, and they made a lot of wealth. I mean, they made a lot of progress. They had a lot of blessings with a little bit of work, right? So God started teaching me that. He said, the blessing, Randy, is to work less. Some people think you got to work really hard all the time, work really hard, and then they make, you know, a little bit of money. And the more they work harder, you know, they might make a little bit more money. So the Lord started showing me, he said, I want you to start praying. And I prayed it for a long time, that you work less and make more. So I'm going to this prayer group, right, in the church I was at the time. And, you know, of course, they asked, okay, Randy, in a prayer group, what do you want us to pray for you? And the Lord says, go ahead and tell them. I'm going, I don't want to tell them that. They're going to think I'm lazy. Well, are you lazy? No, you know I'm not lazy. But go ahead and tell them what I taught you to pray. And I'm thinking, if I tell these guys that I want to work less and make more, they're going to laugh at me. They're going to think I'm like an idiot, you know, lazy, a bum. Work less and make more? That's what bums do, you know. So I'm not trying to judge bums. So the first time I did it, I kind of sheepishly said, okay, you guys can pray for me. The Lord told me to pray, start praying that I work less and make more. And I just kept thinking they were going to look at me like, you poor, pathetic, lazy, sorry, no good, Christian brother. You're just lazy. You want to work less and make more? That's selfish. But you know what? To my amazement, they giggled and they said, that is an amazing prayer. And I went, oh, yeah, really? You know, and sure enough, you know, that's what God started doing with me. It took time. But see, I had to change the way I was praying. I had to change that God, yes, I'm not doing it just for the rewards. But if the Bible says I'm going to bless those I'm going to reward those who diligently seek me, I'm going to say I don't want the reward. Just, you know, let me diligently seek you. No, if the Bible says it, friend, we need to start claiming it. God, I want all your rewards. Because what are the rewards for? Unless you're a selfish, greedy, no good, lazy Christian, what are you going to do with the rewards? If you're going to keep them for yourself, then I can understand you praying that or saying that. But if you're going to be, yeah, keeping some of it for yourself, pay your taxes and pay Jesus' taxes, then I'd say go for it. If you're going to help the poor and the needy, I'd say you need to believe in God for those rewards, because the rewards are going to come in to help feed the poor and clothe the naked and take care of stuff. Right? Or what are you going to do with your rewards? You're going to keep it for yourself? Then, yeah, I'd be telling people I'm not doing it for the rewards either. Good idea. Except it's not biblical. It's not biblical. All right, let's go here to one of the scriptures that I found that I really liked. If I can find it. All right, here's one of them. He says it is Matthew. Is it Matthew? No, it's Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to those without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And guess what? God says, Jesus is saying here, I want you to believe that when you do this, that I'm going to reward you. And we're going to say, oh, but I'm not, I don't want the reward. No, what we need to say is, okay, I'm not just doing it for the reward, but I want the reward. And we need to break free. Like I had to start praying, God, bless me with work less and make more. And on the surface of a regular human being that who just doesn't think biblically would think, well, that's a pretty selfish prayer to be praying, lazy. But it wasn't. It was God's promised word to me. He said, pray this, and I'm going to answer it. So what I'm telling you tonight, friend, this is another level God begin to change me. He said, just don't be ashamed of the gospel. Because if you're ashamed of the gospel, if the gospel says, I want you to know that I'm going to reward you, and you need to say, okay, God, bring it on, instead of, oh, well, you know, I'm not doing it for that. Right? How foolish is that? When God himself says, if God didn't say it, you know, then we can kind of understand why you wouldn't want to expect it, and neither would I. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid from them. See, so what God is saying here is that you don't expect them to give back to you, to be repaid by your enemies or by anybody else. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. Right, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Now, see, I'm not talking about your rewards are going to come from the people you lend money to. I'm talking about it's going to come from the Lord. You will be great. Your rewards will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High God. So we got to change the way we're thinking. We got to change the way we're talking. Right? No, of course we're not doing everything just for the reward. But we got to stop being ashamed of the gospel. And start going, dear God, yeah, bring the rewards on, Lord. Let's change our thinking. Let's change what we're talking about. Let's say, God, you know, yes, I'm believing you for the rewards. Instead of acting like we don't really care about them. We've got to change. So God's trying to bless you with $1 million. You're sitting there saying, and that's your reward. And you're saying, well, I don't really want the reward. So you're never going to get those millions of dollars God wants to give you to be a blessing with. If you're sitting there saying you don't want the reward, and the reward is those millions of dollars God's trying to bring you. And I know a lot of people that are believing God for millions of dollars. But we're sitting here acting like we're discounting Scripture, discounting the Word of God, saying I'm not really interested in that, when it's not even true. We are interested in that. And we need to be interested in that. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Word of God says so. The treasure of the Word of God is what's going to bless us. So if we're sitting there acting all pious and letting Twisted Sister tell us, you know, I'm not interested in the rewards, I'm just interested in this, then you're not interested in what the Bible says, friend. And neither am I. And this is something I've had to deal with at a deep level. Right? You know, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not criticizing you or fault finding. If you said it to me last week, I'm not saying it because you said it to me last week. Because I said the same thing a couple of weeks before that. Right? God is changing me. I'm telling you what God is saying, what God is doing. He's changing the way we talk, the way we think. And if we get a hold of it and come in agreement with the Word of God and not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is when you do good to your enemies, God's going to greatly reward you. Then you'll be able to lend your enemies more money. And then you'll get more greatly rewarded. So you're going to get into it, start a company that says, we want to lend money that you don't have to pay back to all of our enemies. So all my enemies, please line up. I want to really bless you. Why? Because then you get greatly rewarded because you're not expecting them to pay you back, right? That's what the scripture said. If you're expecting them to pay you back, then that's a whole different thing. Then you're not going to be greatly rewarded. Let's read it again. New International Version. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Let me tell you something, friend. You want to really get blessed? Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. That's your enemies, not just people that you don't like, your enemies. Then you enter into the great realm of the reward. The Bible says, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. right? So what are you doing? You're entering into God's glory. You're not expecting them to pay you back. They're even sinners lend to sinners. Look at the verse before that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend, talking about money and whatever they need to them, expecting nothing in return. Now, that's part of the key. Then your reward will be great, and you will be son of the Most High. And he is, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So how do we enter into the great realm? We become servants. You want to be a great servant? Learn to love your enemies, and not just love them in a distance. Do them good and give them money, not expecting the money back. Oh, that's going to take the Holy Ghost there. Yes, exactly. And that's why it's such a blessing. That's why it is such a blessing. Because it's going to take the Holy Ghost for you to do it. I know it with me. Right? Y'all, I know I preach to the choir. Y'all are with me on this. I'm just telling you. Your millions are hung up on you sitting there, you know, being mean, you know, hoping God vindicates your enemies and pays them back, you know, and you sure enough wouldn't lend them money, not expecting some money back because they're your enemies. But you want to get blessed with those millions or whatever it is that God want to reward you for his will, for his purpose. You want to open up a feeding bank to feed people, and you need a building, and you don't have the money for the building. The reward money, you know, like when you catch a criminal, the reward money is to pay for the building. The reward money is to give you the food, to buy the food, to buy the clothing, whatever you got to do to get it, to advertise, to do it, you know, and not just one city, one part of the city, do it in several parts of the city. You know how much money that takes to do that, to rent or buy buildings? A bunch. But the reward money you get for doing what God says is what pays for those buildings and buys the buildings for you to do it and pays for the food. But yet we say we don't really want to, we're not, want the rewards. Wow. Man, God, help us. Teach us, Lord. Teach me. Show me what to do. Show me how to do this. Show me how to untie myself from messing myself up. And the Bible says he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's a scripture. I don't know exactly what that is. I have to look it up. But God rewards those who diligently seek him. All right, here it is. Talk about a reward. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's just read this, talking about rewards. We're talking about rewards tonight. Faith is confident if we hope for an assurance about what we've done. That's not verse 6. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if we're not believing God for the rewards, and saying yes and amen to them instead of going, no, I'm not really interested in them. And yes, part of the reason I do it, just like part of the reason I'm getting married, because I want to have children. Part of the reason I'm getting married, because I want to have love with my wife. Right? Sex is a part of marriage. Do I want that? Yeah. Yeah, that's how you have kids, right? So it's all kind of in the package. Oh, you just married me for the sex? Well, not just for the sex, but you do, you know, want to have children, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, so, you know, we're getting married for a lot of different reasons, and all the rewards of marriage, we are expecting them. We don't sit there and say, no, I don't want, I'm not expecting no children. I'm not expecting any love. No, that's not what I'm getting married for. Well, of course, that's not the only reason you're getting married. But it's one of the reasons, right? Because that's the why. Because it's the promise of God. It's impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who come to him must believe. When we come to God, we must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Yeah, that's faith. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Is it the only reason we seek him? No, but we got to put it in there and quit being ashamed of it. Yes, God, I want the rewards. I want all of it. Give me everything. Let me work more, work less, and make more. That was a hard one to tell the brothers to pray for when I'm sitting there. I've been raised all my life. You know, my dad, mom, and dad talked bad about lazy people. I heard them talk bad. I mean, you know, they talk, oh, they're poor, lazy people. The one, they don't have anything because they're lazy. You know, not because they were human beings, because they were lazy human beings. And then they complained because they didn't have anything, and yet they were lazy. My parents taught me all my life, don't you ever be lazy. We're going to teach you to not be lazy. So, you know, I have a real problem with that. Like, I'm going to pray and ask God to work less and make more. And yet he convinced me, show me in the Word of God. That was part of the blessing, part of the promise of God. And, brother, I started doing it, and guess what? God started doing it. Yeah. Why? Because I started praying correctly. I started coming in agreement that I want the rewards. Yes, I'm doing it partially for, yes, I'm getting married partially for children. Yes, I'm getting married partially for sex. Yes, I'm getting married partially for fellowship and somebody to run around. Yes, I'm getting married for all those things. Is there something wrong with that? If it's the only reason you're getting married, any of those, and you have an issue, right? But it's part of the reason. Can we at least admit it's part of the reason? It's part of the reason. Let's stop acting all pious. And I'm talking about me mainly. Probably you guys probably never even said that or thought that, all right? So I'm preaching to myself. But come on. Yeah. Y'all, God is good, man. God is good. I'm gonna start, you know, I'm gonna unlock God all the way around and quit saying, no, I'm not really interested in the rewards, when I am interested in the rewards. Very much so. Because now I understand the rewards, like Abraham, when God started rewarding Abraham for leaving his mother and father and going to the land he was in, then he went to Egypt, and they liked Sarah, and because they liked Sarah, they gave him lots of cattle and sheep and slaves and stuff, and he walked out of there blessed because of that. That was a reward, man. Kind of came in a little bit different way. What was the reward for? Just to pocket his book because he's a selfish, greedy, no good father of faith? No, because he is a person who is, you know, going to use those servants instead to go to the land of Canaan and work the land of Canaan, which was, you know, what God wants. It's to help do God's will. All the cattle, they were just there to just show off. They were there to bring milk, to help dig ditches, you know, to, you know, do all kinds of things. And the sooner that we come out of agreement with being ashamed of the gospel, the sooner we're going to be blessed. And I really mean that. Right? Yeah. So there you go. All right. Preaching to the choir. I know you guys are already into all this stuff, and you know what I'm saying. You know what's going on. And thank you for, being a part of what's going on here at PGN. We really appreciate it. If you want to give tonight, you can. I can send you the link if you want. You can also go, to your app and do it there. So, yeah, I'm expecting rewards. Yeah, I want to have a studio. I want to travel to, Israel. And there's some things going on in Israel that I'm going to be a part of. And it's going to take money to do that. And the rewards that I get are to do the will of God. I'm not just going to go to Israel and want a studio just for me, right? It's for the kingdom of God. And the rewards God gives me is going to be in line with that. It's going to be really amazing. Yeah, really, really cool. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're going to be praying over offerings here just a little bit. So if you want to do that, and if you're trying to send it and the link isn't working, just give me a holler, and I'll send you the link, the new link that we have for that. And all right, Deborah says, I also look forward for the reward. Yes, my ladder shall be greater, and I will see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. All right, we got one. We got one saying, I also look forward for the reward. Amen. Me too, y'all. I mean, if God promises it, and I'm just giving you a couple of scriptures. I mean, we're gonna be talking about this. You know why? Because God wants to cleanse us and wash us by the water of His Word. He's cleansing me, y'all. He's cleansing me. It was hard for me to pray, being a hard-working person. I was raised to work hard. Are you kidding me? And then to pray a prayer, I want to work less. That just defied everything in me. That defied everything in me. My pride was, when I had to pray that in front of those guys or ask them to pray that for me, you know, I mean, my pride was just like, you know, being whacked big time. The Lord says, yeah, I'm whacking your pride. That's why God wanted me to say it to them. Not just do it privately, but to say it to them. And to my shock, they thought it was cool. They thought, well, this one, the guy who was leading the prayer group, I never forget it, he just kind of looked at me like, what? That is amazing. I never thought about that before. And I just went, oh, okay. I mean, that's good, right? He goes, yeah. He thought it was awesome. He said, I think I'm going to pray that. I'm going, hallelujah. And so we started, kind of had like a little revival thing going there. I'm going to pray. Everybody starts praying to work less and make more. I mean, it just sounded so holy. It was amazing. Yeah. So this is why we're teaching this stuff, y'all. Listen, I've been the world's worst. I have blocked my blessing. I have stopped my treasures from coming in. Big time, because of twisted sister, that I call it, twisted sister, twisting the word of God, twisting and telling me, you know, yeah, well, you don't really want to do it for the word. When the Bible says, God says, I'm going to reward you. And we're saying, oh, I'm not really interested in what God says. Uh-oh. Twisted sister's been at it. Help us, Jesus. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, ask God for the rewards and expect them diligently. I will reward those who diligently seek me. Oh, I'm interested in that reward. You're not? Okay, I'll take it. I'll take yours too. And guess what? We'll just feed more people, have more people, build a place for sanctuary and for studio and for prophesying to people and the end times and all that. Yeah, we'll take your blessings if you don't want them. You don't want your rewards? Hey, hallelujah, I line up for them. I know what I'm going to do with them. I'm not going to sit there and say I don't want them because I'm some selfish, greedy, no-good bum that I'm going to be doing the rewards just for me, right? I want those rewards so I can do the kingdom of God's work. It changes the way you think, friend. It changes the way you look at things. It's changing me. It's changing the way I'm looking at everything. Yeah. I mean, literally. So if you change what your belief system is, guess what? It changes what you receive from God. Hallelujah. This is you guys know. You know me for a long time. I am preaching to the choir. I'm telling you what God is telling me. And I mean, I'm telling you what God is telling me. And I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Of God, for it is the power. It is the gospel is Romans says the power. Romans 2. It says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation for what? Salvation is everything you need. Not just your soul being saved. It's your pocketbook too. It's your friends. It's your loved ones. It's your house. Your family. It's everything. God needs to save us from ourselves. Amen. amen to that for Randy. And I mean that literally. I have stopped myself from being blessed through things I've said and done. And I said, God, no, you know, he had me praying that prayer that I would work less and make more for a long time before it started happening. But I had to start the progress of the miracle. You have to start the process of the miracle sometime. Why not tonight? Yeah, why not tonight? It's all funny to me now, but I'm still working through it. I'm still breaking through on it. I'm still like struggling with the thought. I'm still, when people tell me, yeah, well, I'm not doing it for the rewards, I'm going like, yeah, I know. I mean, yes, I am. Because, you know, it's such a pervasive thing, thought that it's been penetrating me all these years. God said, Randy, it's in my word. I said, I'm going to reward you. You don't want it? You're not going to put that high on your list as something you want? Because I said, I'm going to give it to you? You don't really care about that? You're not really interested in that? And he knows I am, but he knows I'm just blind and ignorant. Right? God just has a way of getting your attention, bro. I'm telling you, man, he has a way of getting your attention. He has a way of getting my attention. Some of it is hilarious. I mean, I'm talking hilarious, hilarious. If I told y'all some of the stupid stuff that God's had to do, it's not stupid, but because God did it, but the stuff that had that you know, stupid is and stupid does, you know, to wake you up, to show you how stupid you're thinking. Randy, that's stupid. Stupid is and stupid does. I'm going, God, the way you say it, just, you know, come on, Lord. Be nice to me. You know, I'm just ignorant. He said, yeah, I know. And you need to quit being ignorant because your ignorance is hindering my blessings from coming to you. I'm going like, golly, help me, Jesus. Right? So, you know, God speaks to you. If God speaks to you about all this, which I hope he does because it's in his word, you're going to get it just like I'm going to get it. We're all going to get it. And we're all going to be fine. I'm going to believe God for that million-dollar blessing that we're believing God for? Is that just for you and your selfish little greedy whatever? Then no wonder you're struggling with that. If that's you, I don't think anybody's doing that, but, you know, that would make sense that you would struggle with if it's just for you. You and your little greedy self, well, you're not greedy, right? You want to do God's will. You just haven't understood what God is saying, and neither have I. So do I want my million-dollar blessings to do the work of God? I want my billion-dollar blessings to do the will of God. I believe God for billions. Billions. I believe God's going to reward me with billions. Can y'all even say that? And that I want it, that I'm looking forward to it, that I'm looking to it. I'm doing the work of God so that he can reward me to do more of the work of God, so I can do more of the work of God, so I can do more of the work of God? What's wrong with that? I don't know. I can't think of anything at the moment. Are y'all even with me on this? I think you are. I know you are. Y'all are just like me, man. You're thinking this thing through like, God, stupid is as stupid does. Ignorance is as ignorant does. Right? Ignorance, not knowing. Okay, God. So we're looking forward to the rewards. Looking forward to them. God bless me so that I can be a greater blessing. Reward me so I can reward others. So I can even be nicer and give more money to the wicked people who hate me. Bless me with millions so I can bless those who hate me. Because the more you bless those who hate you and lend money to those who hate you, the greater the reward is, y'all. Think about that one. Okay, I can see why you wouldn't want the reward, because the greater reward comes from blessing those who hate you. Oh, yeah. If that was too difficult to do, we don't want to talk about that one. Yeah, I don't want that reward. I'm not going to bless. I'm not going to lend money to those who hate me. I'm going to expect them to pay me back. I wouldn't even give them any money in the first place. Oh, there's a great reward in that? Well, God, I don't want that because I can't go there. That, no. Again, you know why, Frank? Because this is going to take the Holy Ghost to do that. Only the Holy Ghost. And you, and that's why it says it's the greater blessing, because the Holy Ghost is in that. Right? Y'all with me on this? I know you are. Y'all are quiet. Y'all don't talk a lot. It's okay. I understand. Yeah, it's all good. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right, so we're going to take communion tonight. Guess what we're going to take communion on? On what we believe in our hearts. Some people just want to talk. They think they got to change what their mouth says. No, you want to change what's in your heart so that what's in your heart comes out your mouth correctly. The Bible says it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Not just out of the heart, out of the abundance. In other words, what you really believe is what really affects you when you say it. If you don't really believe it and you're saying it, it's not really affecting you much. If you really believe it, if it's out of the abundance of your heart you speak those negative things, then they will negatively affect you big time. But if you don't really believe it in your heart, you're just saying something with your mouth because you're mad, you're angry. I'm not saying you should do that, but it's not really going to curse you and take you down. You have to believe it in your heart. That's what the Bible, we have to believe what we're saying. If we would believe that we're going to curse ourselves, we have to really believe it. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, man believeth, man speaks, and it is done. Abundance. So let's look at that scripture for a second. Yeah, here it is. Matthew 12:34, is that it? Matthew 6:45. Let's see if that's it. All right, Matthew 12:34 says, King James Version says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's out of the abundance of the heart, man, not just what you slip and say. Oh, I curse myself by saying that. Not necessarily. I mean, most people, when they say that they're not really looking for the rewards, they mean that. They've been convinced of that. That's why they say it so powerfully. Yeah, I'm not believing the reward. That's coming right out of their heart, out of the abundance of the heart, they're saying that. Guess what? That's what you're reaping. That's what I'm reaping. That's what we're reaping. Well, how are we going to do that? Get it back into the – that's when I repeat teachings in different ways over and over and over again, so you can get it more and more and more in your heart and start understanding, I got to quit saying that. Because I really believe that. Now, if you didn't really believe it, you're just saying it, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I think most people really believe what they've been saying. Oh, I don't really interest in the reward. I did. It came out of the abundance of my heart. No, I really believe that. You know, I'm a really holy, righteous, a generous person. And who would ever do something for God expecting a reward? I would never do that. Not me. And I said that with the abundance of my heart. You know, guess what, friends? The rewards were not coming. Hallelujah. Now we need to get it into our heart abundantly so that we truly, because like I say, I'm just trying to be honest with you. I still struggle with it because it was so ingrained in me. And when something's ingrained in you, that's the abundance of you, friend. So God has to take it and turn it around and make it the new abundance is the opposite. Yes, God, I'm looking for the rewards. I want the rewards. Because I know the rewards are so I can be more of a blessing. Why did he say he rewards us for lending money to the wicked and not expecting anything back? He said, I'm going to bless you with, that's going to be the greater reward. Oh, my God. Come on, Jesus. Help us out over here. We need some help. We need that in an abundance level in our hearts. Make it an abundant, not just a floppy thing we say. Oh, yeah, I'm confessing, confession of faith. Confession of faith come from the heart, man. They don't just come from your flopping of your jaws because you heard something one or two times and you're just saying it with your mouth. That's the deception that comes with that. You can't just say it with your mouth. You have to believe it in your heart. And it needs to be the abundance, out of the abundant. You believe it abundantly in your heart. You have to get the scripture in there and wash out that other nonsense. Oh, I don't really want it for the reward. In the Word of God, just the opposite of the Word of God. It's anti-Word of God to say that. When you look at it, when you start looking at it, that God said he's going to do it, and we're sitting there saying we're not the interest in that, Well, it's not saying that I'm not interested in part of God's word, the reward part of God's word. I'm not really interested in that. No, I'm so holy. I'm so holy. I have a holiness that's outside of God, because even though God said it, I'm not really interested in that kind of holiness. I have my own holiness. Stupid is as stupid does. And that, my friend, once it's, when you can become aware of it, it's stupid. We're going to look back at this and go, my God, I can't believe we said that. We're rebuking the word of God. We're rebuking God. That's like Peter rebuking Jesus, right? Lord, how can you say you're going to die? You can't die. You're the Messiah. You know? And he believed that deeply. And that was an abundant thing in him. That's why he kept saying it. That's why he took Jesus to the side and rebuked him. You know why? Because it was out of the abundance of his heart that he believed that when the Messiah came, that he was not going to die. He was going to rule on the throne of David forever, which was a scripture, but it was for the millennium. Are y'all ready to enter into the year of 2022 as God has prophesied to us, the Lord Jesus? Well, we're going to have to unlock these things, man. I'm not just over here flapping my jaws. I love to flap my jaws for sure. It's a blast, but the reason I love it so much is because I get to flap my jaw for Jesus. Jesus jaw flapping. I think it's going to be my next ministry is going to be called Jesus Jaw Flapping Incorporated. I'm sorry, I'm getting too happy over here. I'm getting way too happy. I gotta be more serious. I got to be more serious. Maybe if I get crazy enough, I'm allowed to say something really big and laugh about it for half an hour, and that'll come to pass more than anything. What do you think about that? Y'all want me to do that? Or no? Can I laugh and giggle and get drunker than a skunk and the Holy Ghost and start flapping my jaws for Jesus and just laugh and giggle and have fun and then watch a lot of that stuff come to pass? Y'all want some of that? That's what I want. I'll take some of that. I will take some of that. Yes, sir, Rebaba. I will take it. Because like my friends told me, a lot of times, a lot of the stuff gets out of my mouth when I'm having fun and playing around. It's some of the most powerful stuff that comes to pass faster than anything. And you think it'd be because you have to be serious. Yeah, that's not what the Lord says. It's just the opposite. Yes, sirree, Baba. Okay, y'all hang on a second. I'm doing some stuff here. Hope we're having fun, at least a little bit. Don't have too much fun, because then it wouldn't be serious religion, right? We're having too much fun. Although the Holy Ghost might get moving, and, you know, he might move, you know, right through us as we loosen up a little bit, if we can. Sometimes we're wound so tight, it's hard to loosen up. You think if we loosen up, if we have too much fun, people aren't going to take it serious. That's what I've said before many times. That's why I used to be so serious. I can't be talking too much, having too much fun. People aren't going to take me seriously. I've said that so many times. You know, that's why I was so serious for so long. The Lord said, what are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about, Chandler. You do not even know what you're talking about. That is not right. Hey, listen to this, y'all. Oh, my God. I just thought about this. This is hilarious, completely hilarious. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Think about this. What happened on the day of Pentecost? What were they accused of? Well, they're just a bunch of funny drunks, man. They're getting drunk. And Peter said, no, he had to get serious. No, we are not drunk with that wine, because it's too early in the day to be drunk with that wine. This is the Holy Ghost. And when he got up into talking like that, and that is the Holy Ghost, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire. And then he started preaching, you know, probably laughing and giggling, acting like a drunk. And what happened? 5,000 people got saved from the goofy guy who was loaded on the Holy Ghost. I just got a revelation, y'all, just now. That was brand spanking new, fresher, and I don't know if we have any way to document it, other than the fact it's documented. It said that the people that were watching him thinking, you people are having way too much fun. This cannot be, we're here for festivals from God, and we're here, it's a very serious time. We're here to get forgiveness of our sins. I brought my calf, my bull, we just bought a couple of doves at the courts of the temple, and we're here for some serious stuff. And here you guys are over here 50 days after that, and I mean, you're having way too much fun. You're stupid. I'm not going to take you serious. My God, what's wrong with you, bunch of, you're just all drunk. Because they were, why did he say that? Because they were acting drunk, friend. What do you do when you act drunk? Well, if it's drunk with the Holy Ghost, you're drunk, it's probably a good drunk, right? You're probably laughing, giggling, and enjoying it. So they were having so much fun, and then what happened? Oh, my God, all those people that were saying, you know, you guys are drunk and you're crazy, and we're not listening to you, we're not going to take you serious, they get saved and get really saved. They don't have to have the doves and buy the doves at the temple anymore. They don't have to bring their lambs and pay for the lamb. No, they got Jesus now because a bunch of drunks preached the gospel to them, and they got drunk themselves probably, and they were all a bunch of drunks. That's the Bible. I know, probably everybody just said, we got to go now. Chandler, he's done flipped out. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost makes you flip out, man. You're getting drunk. Oh, we don't ever want to act. You know, one of the things I talked to somebody one night was that, we're talking about this situation about having too much fun, people will take you serious if you're a man of God, of course. I told 120, you know, 100, at 120 of those up there, 11 of them were apostles. 11, Judas wasn't there, so Judas wasn't there, but all the rest of the 11, and they were all drunker than skunks, man. Come on, they were drunk. God was making a show of a bunch of drunks on one of the greatest days in history for the church, was the day of Pentecost, and people try to forget the fact that they were drunk and having fun, because that ain't serious. We got to get this thing back to serious mode. Hallelujah. I'm talking the Bible, y'all. This is go back and you don't believe me, go read it for yourself. Google it. Day of Pentecost, drunks. Wins 5,000 to Jesus. They took it so serious, they probably started thinking, man, they're really having fun. Maybe I should accept Jesus and see if I can have that kind of fun. I think that's what we need to change it around to. If you're too serious, people are not going to take. If you're too serious, people are not going to take you serious. You got to have more fun. You know, the Ukraine president. You know the Ukrainian president, the one that everybody's just ooing on over right now. Ukrainian president. Vladimir Putin is attacking. You know what he was before he became president? Anybody know? Anybody know what the Ukrainian president, who's Mr. Super Serious Jew, and everybody's saying he's such a powerful man, and everybody's listening to him. You know what he did before he became president? You know what he did for a living? Anybody know? Nobody knows. He was a comedian. Google that. Yes, sir. Google that. He was a comedian. And now he's being hailed as one of the most listened to people in the globe. And he was making people laugh and joking and having fun. And he becomes, maybe we need to choose presidents who are comedians. Or maybe we should choose presidents or leaders who get drunk in the Holy Ghost and laugh their heads off, like the Bible talks about, the joy of the Lord. Remember that one? Oh, but Brother Chandler, we must be serious. Well, if you're going to be serious about the Bible, you're going to have to be getting loaded and acting like a drunk. If you want to, because the greatest day of the Holy Ghost being poured out, that was, you know, totally amazing, What was the main sign of it? They were all drunk. Well, you can be too serious. You have too much fun, Brother Chandler. People aren't going to listen to you. That's a common thing we hear from everybody, right? I've said it. You said it. We've all said it. Well, I got a feeling that God's going to change all that. I have a feeling, I got a feeling we're all going to be reeling in laughter and joy. Going to be playing with our toys all day long.
Ow!
Going to be laughing and giggling, laughing our sorrows away. Yeah, we was having a meeting last night. Somebody started laughing, and then everybody started laughing, and demons started coming out of my daughter. My daughter's had them demons since the day she was 5 years old. She got those demons. I don't know where they came from, but those demons just came pouring out of her when we started laughing. She laughed those demons right. Those demons came out. They couldn't handle that. We was all having so much fun, laughing and giggling. You know, she was over there trying to be serious, and all of a sudden she starts crying, and then she starts laughing, and she started vomiting up demons. And then when she got through vomiting them up, all she did was laugh and giggle for about 3 hours, 4 hours. What's that called? That's called the Bible. The day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach y'all happy tonight. Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah. Anyway, okay, I guess we'll just move on. We're having too much we're starting to have fun. We want to keep having fun. We're gonna have fun doing other things, right? We can have fun doing a lot of things. Good to be here tonight. Man, we went all over the place, didn't we? We went all over the place. Oh, my God. That was, I don't know, that was a blast. I was having fun. Okay. And we just need, I don't know. God is good. All right. Well, let's believe God tonight. Let's go pray over offerings tonight. We're going to take communion. And let's take communion on, I'd love to take communion tonight on this message tonight that God has given us on how to be blessed, to stop telling God we're not interested in the rewards when all the Bible does is promise us rewards, and we act like it's some selfish thing that God would bless our selfishness with some selfish reward of selfishness to spend it on our selfish selves. I don't think so. This is a hard one to break because this religious spirit, what that's been on me with it, you know, it's heavy, man. That's a heavy religious spirit. Well, I'm not doing, you know, the rewards don't mean nothing to me. I'm just doing it because I love Jesus. Yeah, and you're getting married. You're not getting married to have children, right? You're not getting married to have love and have sex. How pathetic and how sickening is that? How perverted is that? You're getting married just for that? So that's part of marriage. Yeah, like I say, that's all you're doing it for. You got an issue, for sure. But come on, man. You got to wake up a little bit here. Hey, man, let's take communion, see if we can get loaded tonight. If drinking a little bit of grape juice. I know some people drink a little bit of wine with their communion, which, you know, I totally approve of, whatever you want to do. The Bible says a little bit of wine is good for the belly. Yeah, you ought to try getting that out there sometime and seeing what religious spirits come up on you on that one. When you quote in the Bible, a little bit of wine is good for the belly. In fact, Paul said, don't drink water, you know, drink wine because it's good for your belly. You say, oh, you shouldn't say that because somebody out there might be, yeah, I know. I know all the stuff. I've heard it all too. But how can we can't quote the scripture without having to degrade it and get Twisted Sister in there to mess it up, to say something we're not saying because somebody has a problem with it? Pretty soon we're not going to be able to say anything in the Bible. Well, you know, I mean, you can't have too much fun, Brother Chandler, Day of Pentecost. I think after the Day of Pentecost, they didn't have fun anymore. They got really serious. That's why, you know, yeah, I don't know why I'm thinking that, but that's probably why they got martyred. They got serious. You know, talking. Yeah. We need to stay in the realm of what the Spirit of God is telling us to stay into and live in that place. Amen? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to try to move on now. Help me, Jesus. All right. Let's see if we can get happy some grape juice and the body of Jesus. All of you really serious people. Maybe you'll get a blessing, and God will bless you, and you might just start laughing and giggling. What am I laughing? I got to quit laughing and giggling because I'm doing something religious. We know when we do religious stuff, we must be extremely serious because it's religion, it's God, and God is serious. Yeah, I thought the same thing until one day I had the only time I ever had an open vision. You know what the open vision was all about? The most miraculous thing I've ever had happen in my life, ministry. Vision-wise, was an open vision, and Jesus was standing there laughing with his hands on his belly, standing there laughing with the most beautiful, holy laughter, but he was laughing like he had lost it. His belly was hurting him because he was holding his belly because he was laughing. And when I saw that, I said, God, you would have to, the only way I would ever believe that is that the way you showed it to me, because I wouldn't have believed it had you not showed it to me. Like that. If you'd have told me audibly, I might not have believed it. I don't know. But I saw an open vision of Jesus standing there laughing, and that began to change my life little by little. Because I was so serious, because I believed all that stuff, that you have to be serious all the time for people to believe you, for people to listen to you. I was a mess, man. And I lived holier than you can, holy, pure before God. And I was serious as a heart attack. And God says, yeah, I'm going to have to straighten you out. Boy, you don't even know, have a clue what I'm really like. And they're like, yeah, no, I know everything about you, God. You're not like that. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, hit him, angels. Hit him with an open vision while he's driving down the road in Lubbock, Texas. Yeah. All right, let's take communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. We're going to take it tonight for God, asking God to help us eat his body, eat his word, that we don't refuse the rewards anymore, that we open up ourselves for the reward, because the rewards are not for your greedy, selfish little self, that all you're going to do is spend them on you, or at least I don't think so, that's you. It's not me. Well, I might get really greedy and selfish if I started believing God to reward me. In one of the rewards, what if I got greedy and selfish? Yeah, well, you might. It's possible. Maybe you already are and you don't know it. So let's believe God to communion tonight to set you free from being greedy and selfish and not wanting rewards because you know what you're going to do with it. You're going to spend it on yourself, right? No, we're going to change that. That way you can ask God to reward you knowing you're going to do it for the goodness of the kingdom of God. Lift up the body. We thank you, Lord, the bread. Paul the Apostle said, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Eat your body, Lamb of God. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. We drink tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We drink and we eat your body and we drink your blood tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for making us, helping us to understand that the rewards you have are because we're going to be able to bless and love and take care of things, your kingdom, your will, your purpose. And you reward us, that you make it so much fun that you make it a reward. And that reward turns into blessings for more people, turns into blessing to even lend more money to wicked enemies of ours. To get them saved, to show them we're not what they think, Who else is getting loaning you money and not expecting anything back? The enemies? What do your enemies think? Think I'm a fool? No, what it does is it gets them convicted, gets them saved, gets them filled with the Holy Ghost. It wipes away their anger and their hatred for God and God's people. God rewards you with that. And you can be a blessing to them when they quit hating you. You can bless them because they love you. Take care of them because, you know, God says you can. Because you're blessed. You have a lot of rewards, great rewards. Thank you, Lord, that we quote that scripture tonight. We thank you that we are believing you for the greater rewards. Thank you, Jesus, for the greater rewards. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them, expecting nothing in return from them. Nothing in return from them. Then your reward will be great from your heavenly Father, and you will be called the sons of the Most High. Hallelujah. Lord, we eat that tonight. We drink that in. We know that it says that you reward those who diligently seek you. It's impossible to please God without faith. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He is a rewarder. We must believe that, friend. That's what we eat tonight, God, as we take communion. That's what we eat tonight. We eat that. We eat your word, God. We want your word to give us our desires, not our own religious spirit. Not our own greedy, selfish part of us that says, well, if I got those rewards, I'll probably spend it on myself. That's where I don't want to say that's all I'm doing it for. Do I have anything to do with it? The rewards are just for me? They're not just for you, friend. They're for you and therefore, you know, even your enemies and the poor and the needy and whoever and for the kingdom of God, for building those buildings you need to build to house those poor and people and take care of them and or whatever you're going to do. Raise up worship houses where we have worship houses all over America where people come in and worship. Well, we're not selling things, but we're giving everything away. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for helping us to do things your way. Help me, God. Show me where I am in error, which have been many different things I've been in error about that God's been showing me where I've been in error. And changing me, God. Changing me, God. Hallelujah. And I need a lot of change. Hallelujah. God, we just need help. We need lots of help. Help us, Jesus. We think we know what's right, and then all we do is just mess it up. Because we try to add to the Word of God by our own righteousness, saying, you know, well, no, I would never want a reward. I never do anything for rewards. I just do because I love. Be delivered, Jesus. All right. Let's pray over offering tonight. Thank you for being with us. Hopefully communion was good and you were able to get that bread, that body of Jesus, the word of God planted in your soul about the rewards that God will show you how he wants you to think. Maybe you'll call me and correct me about what I'm saying, how I'm saying it. That'd be fine. Let's do that. Yeah. That'd be wonderful. Right? Whatever God's telling you. Hallelujah. Okay. How did I miss that? Okay, y'all, hang on a second here. I'm trying to get this going on. All right. Okay, let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for being patient as we walk through this revelation of the Lord that God has given us about how to stop rejecting his blessings. Amen? Yeah, I'm definitely into that. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Carmen. And I also got your check today in the mail. So, 120.27 came in the mail today. So we'll add that. We'll add that 1750 to that. Thank you. Amen. It's going to take a while to wash that thing out of the reward thing. That's a heavy duty out of the abundance of heart thing. And it's like all of our motives might change if we start believing God to receive all of his reward and we start wanting them and looking forward to them. Like that somehow or another that's going to make us wicked or something or evil because we're believing God for the word or something. I mean, I don't know. God help us. God help us. We need lots of help. We've gotten so far off the path, I think, in so many different things. God's trying to help us get back. We're scared to death. Most people, I think, that say that in their heart about the rewards are afraid they're afraid of money because rewards are not just money, but that the whole reward thing is about, oh, I don't want to be rewarded. So, you know what they do? They block off that abundant realm. Like he says, I will reward you exceedingly or with great rewards, right? That's what he says about that one scripture we just read tonight. Yeah, well, I will greatly bless you. Not just bless you, not reward you, but I will greatly reward you. I want the great reward. I want the great reward, y'all. Y'all don't have to have them if you don't want them. I'm sure you do. We're going to get into the word. We're going to start seeing all this stuff. We're going to start believing God for his word to come to pass. We're going to stop hindering those millions and billions of dollars coming in for the kingdom of God. Will it change us? I'm sure it will. It probably changes from a whole different mindset of thinking, yeah, I heard different people say, yeah, I've been poor and I've been rich. Rich is better. That's probably what's going to change about us. Now, if we turn into a bunch of greedy, sorry, no good bums, then, you know, probably will happen to some. I'm sure. I don't know. I don't want to judge them of that. All right, Andrea, $5. Let's start praying. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea, God. We thank you, Jesus, for Andrea, for blessing her, God, for making her a success. God, where she's not afraid of success, but she believes you for success. Success is having a family, a home, a house, you know, other than mainly God. All right, hang on a second. Randy, how do you give? Okay. All right, hang on a second. Camario. Good to have you, Camario. Yeah, in a second, I'll send you a link, bro. Okay, Camario, thank you for asking. I'm going to send you a link. Go to PayPal and give on PayPal. If you don't have an account, you can get one, I guess. Thank you for asking about that. I'm sending out that link. If you want that link to be able to give, people are asking how they can give, and so we're helping them with that. So thank you for doing it. We just bless you and thank God for you. All right. Andrea, $5. God, I thank you for, you know, I'm going to pray this over every, I may just pray this over every person tonight in the mix of everything else because I think it's just, a bigger problem than we realize, that we are afraid to be blessed. I mean, really blessed. Because when we finally get a bunch of money, we start hiding it. We start, you know, I don't want anybody, now, you know, and whatever. But, you know, we go through this theme, and then we, you know, go crazy. We got have all these emotional traumas, like, oh my God, I got all this money. Now what am I going to do? And we start condemning ourselves because we, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we go through all this stuff. Why? Because we're not prepared for the wealth. We're not prepared for the blessing. So God is trying to help us through this teaching to help prepare us for the blessing, which comes through his rewards. Some rewards are great rewards, greatly rewarding us, exceeding abundantly. Amen? Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for Andrea in that area, blessing her, God. Will she not be afraid of the blessings of God and wealth of any fashion or form? In Jesus' name, she will be ready for it, and not just casually, but she will be more than ready, prepared, so you can really bless her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. She is a giver. She is a lover of God. She's a helper of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing her and the rewards you've given her, God. May she become reward-minded, because the Bible says it. Become Word of God-minded toward rewards. Word of God-minded toward rewards. Okay, Camario, thank you for that. Thank you. Tanisha, $9. Thank you, Tanisha, for that $9. Lord, I thank you for that dream vision that you've given her and Terrence, Father, to be blessed, to be high-level blessed. God, that they will, that you are removing every blockage, every bondage, anything that I think the whole body of Christ is full of bondage in this area, and we don't even know it. We don't think we are, but, you know, just like everything else, we're blind to things. I'm blind to things. I'm blind. When God opened my eyes, I go, I didn't realize I was blind in that area until he opened my eyes. I go, my God, I was blind about that. Is that such a humbling thing to say we're blinded and God opened our eyes? I don't think so. I think it's a glorious thing. What's wrong with being humble? You know, what's wrong with being broken? What's wrong with saying I messed it up? We're afraid to tell people we messed up because they're going to what? They're going to lose confidence in us that we said we messed up something? No, I thank you, Lord, that Tanisha, God, she has humility about her, but she learns and grows. She's not afraid to say, I messed up. I made a mistake. I didn't understand it right. And the people, instead of disrespecting us, Tanisha, they respect us. Why? Because we change. Any woman who has a man, or any man who has a woman, especially women who have men, who just never change, they never have any hope that they're going to change. If a man, the reason that sometimes a man doesn't say he's sorry for things, because he thinks this woman's going to disrespect him and take advantage of him because he admitted he was wrong, like he's a lower level now. Because we look at repentance, we look at I messed up, I made a mistake, as something like, oh my God, you know, yeah, you know, so you are really stupid. So you are really dumb. So you are really a person who makes mistakes. You're probably going to make a whole bunch more mistakes now or whatever. You know, instead of making it an honor, what a glorious thing it is that Paul the Apostle, who strongly believed in the law more than anybody, got knocked off his horse by Jesus, totally changed him. He had to humble himself before all those Jews, for all those people to say, Jesus is the Messiah. How hard was that for him to do that? You know what? It wasn't hard once he got it. Because once he got it, he realized how blind he was. But Lord, I thank you for Tanisha, God, that the humility in her, God, the grace in her, that she's going to lead the way for people to be able to say, hey, you know, I made a mistake, and we're gonna start bragging about our mistakes. Paul the Apostle bragged about his weaknesses. He said, when I'm weak, God is strong. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Camario. Thank you for the $10, Camario. No, I didn't see that. Okay, no, I missed. Okay, all right, 777. No, I did miss. I didn't see it. No. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. Sorry, Camario. I'll be right with you there. Thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. Angela Lanham from the Carolinas. Thank you, Lord, that that you're blessing her, God. You're giving her wisdom in Jesus' name on how to do more than survive. That she's not going to be a survivalist. She's going to be a more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. More than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you're bringing her into that more than a conqueror mentality. Like what we're talking about tonight, this is more than a conqueror mentality. Because we're realizing when the Word of God says something and we're rejecting the Word of God, we're rejecting the blessings. So what does it do? We enter into the conquering. What is conquering? Conquering is the Word of God, believing the Word of God and what the Word of God says, not what religion says about it, not what we think about it, not what we add to it, saying, I want to be humble and not think like that. Well, God says there's nothing wrong with wanting to be exalted. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be number one. When Jesus rebuked the disciples, he wasn't rebuking them for wanting to be number one. It's just the way that they were trying to do it. He said, if you want to be number one, or if you want to be great, you got to be you become great by serving. And said, he who serves the most becomes the greatest. So he was still saying, greater is good. But we think the opposite. Oh, we shouldn't even be asking God for being great. You know, yeah, you know what, Jesus, he's going to teach us how to be humble and how to serve. What's going to make us great? Learning how to serve? Well, I don't want to serve. I don't want to wash feet. Peter said, you know, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. You know, because it was a humbling experience. You're the king. You're not supposed to wash my feet. I'm supposed to wash yours. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to be clean. He went, okay, then do it all. Wash my head and everything. It was Peter's pride because Jesus was being a servant, and Jesus didn't want to see him as a servant. He wanted to see him as the Messiah, the King, the Lord of Lords, the high and lifted up one. He said, if you want to be the true high and lifted up one, if you want to truly be exalted, if you want to truly be great, Peter, you become a servant and serve. And the greater level of servanthood you obtain, the greater you will be, the more prosperous you will be, the more blessed you will be. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father, right now. Amen. Camario, there we are, Camario, $10. Thank you, Lord, for that, Camario, for that $10. We just bless Camario tonight. God, I thank you for his desire, Father, to be great, that you do not frown on that at all. In fact, like I just said to, you know, Angela about being great, that Jesus didn't rebuke them because they wanted to be great. It's just the way that they were trying to do it. They were trying to push the other ones down. You know, gossip about other people. Yeah, you know how John is. You know how he likes to talk a little bit too much, and you know, blab about himself and blah. You know, and so they were trying to outdo one another to become great. Jesus said, "That's not the way you do it, y'all. You want to be great? That's a God thing. That's a God thing to be great. It's a God thing." Jesus said, "You want to be great?" He said, "He who is humble and servant is the great. Is going to be the greatest." So if we're going to push to be the greatest, and Jesus said, "Be the greatest," and he said, "I'm going to greatly reward you." You know, you're going to with great rewards. It's just the way that we think we're supposed to do it, Camario. And you already know this. God planted in you and to make you a servant, that God wants to make you the greatest servant of all. When we become the greatest servant, we become the greatest. Why? Because everybody wants us to serve them. It's like I talk about Jeff Bezos, who made Amazon and the greatest company, you know, one of the greatest companies in the world. Why? Because he's serving people, and he served them greatly. Same thing in the body of Christ. It's not about doing it to get rich, but you do it because if getting rich means you're going to be able to take care of more people, then what's wrong with wanting to get rich? If you're going to take care of more people and bless more people and pay people's houses off that got in disasters and like got wiped out by hurricanes, they didn't have insurance, you want to be able to buy their house for them, pay for their houses. You know, and you wanted to get rich to do that? What's wrong with that? It's your motive. It's your intention, Camario. You know that. So, God, I thank you for any intentions, any motives that he has that are not right. God, that you're making them right. You're helping him. You're changing him. He's flexible. He's changeable. Make him great, God. Make him a great servant. Let him be known as the servant of servants. In Jesus' name. Multiply his wealth, his blessings. Bless him in business. Bless him in everything he touches, God, in Jesus' name, because he learns how to serve the people well. People that don't want to do business with people, they go into their store and they treat them like they're supposed to treat the owner like a king. When the true good servant, the owner of the company, treats the people like they're the king and he's the servant. How can I wash your feet today? How can I help you in my company? How can I help you get what you need? How can I help you? Show me what I need. Show me. Talk to me. Show me. Here. Okay. You need this. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna. Okay. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna find the best deal. We're gonna help you out with this. We're gonna deliver it to your house. We're gonna even set it up, and everybody's gonna be smiling and happy about it. They're gonna be treating you like you're the king. And that guy's gonna go, man. And I'm gonna tell everybody about you. Arrogant, pompous servants who wait on you. And I've had it happen to me, and I could name some names. You know, you would know them because of the places I've gone to eat, you know, because you could tell they were trying to challenge you to make sure that you gave them a good tip. You know, y'all seen those kind of people, right? Arrogant, acting like a donkey. I mean, the person I was with, we both got upset. We're like, what is wrong with them? And we finally figured out what it was. It took a while. I think that's the way they're supposed to get tips. It's crazy. But those who come and serve you and help and are kind and generous, you know, if you have a heart, if you have a true heart for God, you're gonna want to bless those people for being a good servant. You want to want them to serve you every time you go into that restaurant. You want them to wait on you. No, we have stores, restaurants we go to. We say we want this particular person to come wait on us. That's what we tell them. That's what we want. Whatever it takes to get. If we have to wait for a different table. That's what we want that person to wait on. We literally do this in one of the restaurants we go to. And we tip him good every time. He loves it when we show up. He serves us better than he's ever served us. Why? Because we take good care of him. That's the way the kingdom of God works, man. Hallelujah. Bless him, Jesus. Bless my brother Camario. Open him up, God. Share your wisdom with him, God, on how to be blessed, how to be favored, how to be a friend, how to be a friend to sinners, and gain the wealth of the heathen, that the wealth of the wicked will be changed and brought into the kingdom, and then their wealth, their service, their love, their money will become part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We'll have a people who want to serve and bless and do good. Bless him, Jesus. Amen. Sally, $12. Thank you, Lord, for Sally. Thank you, Lord, for staying with her. We thank you, Lord, that any fear she has of being wealthy, of wanting the rewards, you know, thinking that wanting rewards is a wrong motive when it's in the Bible. Lord, I thank you for taking Sally's heart and just open her up, God, and planting that in her, watering that, growing that within her, where she will look for the rewards. She will want the reward. She's not going to reject the reward. She's going to say, God, I need the reward. I want the reward. I'm going to humble myself and say, I'm sorry I said that, but I really didn't want, you know, I'm not doing this for the reward. When, you know, yeah, part of the reasons I'm doing it is because I want the reward, because your Bible says you're going to reward those who diligently seek you, and you reward those who lend to others and don't expect payment back. You greatly reward them. I want those rewards, God. I'll take them in Jesus' name. Bless me. That's what the Jabez prayer was about, Sally. You know that. We've talked about that before. You probably read that teaching. You know, that's what got me blessed. It caused me some trouble at first. Because I said, God, bless me. You know, what's the Jabez prayer says, you know, learn to pray the best prayer that any prayer, what's the best prayer you can think of? The greatest prayer you can think of. Pray that prayer. So I did. I said, I want to be the greatest man of God that's ever lived. That's what I did. I'm going to humble myself and tell you what I said. I told God, I said, I want to be the greatest man of God that ever lived. Did I believe that it would happen? Not really, but I'm starting out with what they said, right? Yeah, and then my life fell apart for, you know, a few months, maybe a year, and then God had an angel visit me and starts talking to me about massive mergers, mergers as in merging, and then my whole life changed. Yeah, it's not always what we think it is. Hallelujah. God began to bless me, move me into the market realm. First, only things about markets, and I had bankers and market people coming to me asking me what they should invest in, asking me what's the market going to do, and I didn't know nothing about it, but they knew the blessing of God was on me. Why? Because I said, God, I want to be the greatest man of God that ever lived beside Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I prayed. As crazy as that may sound to you, and then God started having to pray some crazier prayers. Then that's when he started teaching me. He said, "What?" I told you this earlier, but he said, I want you to start praying that you work less and make more. I'm going, this is getting crazier by the minute. But then he started showing me in the Word what he meant by it, and I went, oh, okay. Wow, sorry for rebuking you, Jesus. Sorry. God, sorry. We don't understand God, man. We got a real religious view of God, a narrow view. I'm telling you, I know I have, and God is changing me. Bless God. Sally, we love you, and you're blessed, and you're favored. Just believe it. Amen. Start asking God for big things. Yeah, and get ready for whatever happens, too. So I'm just going to warn you. You know, it may not happen to you like it did to me, but, you know, God separated me from people who were, you know, had some, you know, I guess some ingrained issues, because I guess he knew they were going to change. So he said, oh, okay, let's move him out of that one. And he moved me out of it. He moved me out of it. I didn't move myself out of it. He moved me out of it. Wow. Amazing. Jeannie, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, that if there's anything in her, God, that we're talking about tonight, praying about tonight, in Jesus' name, any fear of being blessed, any fear of being ashamed of the gospel in any fashion or form, including the rewards, if she's ashamed of the gospel in any fashion or form, God, I don't know if she is or not, but if she is, this reward round, let her get in the Bible and see what God says about rewards, so that we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to bring the reward to you. And if we're ashamed of the reward, how's it going to come to us? It's not. A lot of people are missing out on it all the time. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Open her up, God. Show her, because you're going to bless her socks off, God. She's going to be the ruler. How do you rule? You learn to serve and bless and be a blessing. That's how you rule. All right, Carmen says, work less, make more. I want that. I'll take it in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, girl, that's Carmen saying that. I hope you don't mind me saying it, because I'm declaring with you. We're putting your name to that. You know why I'm tagging your name to that? Because, you know, number one, you didn't ask me not to say it. Number two, I want to tag your name to that because, you know what, I'm coming in agreement with you that this is the blessing of God. We're supposed to be in the Garden of Eden where we're working hard. We're working smart and making a lot more progress. That was God's blessing in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. That's what God started telling me when he said, I want you to work less, pray for working less and making more. That's what he told me to pray. He told me to pray that. And he showed me the Garden of Eden blessing. That's what that was. I went, hallelujah. I never thought about that before. Thank you, Jesus. I come in agreement with Carmen about that right now in Jesus' name. That will be yours. And that the rewards, that you will look for the rewards and want the rewards of heaven and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God into your reward system being yours. And Jeannie, too, in Jesus' name. We claim that for Jeannie. We declare that over Jeannie tonight. Priest, don't sweat. Exactly. Nobody's supposed to sweat. In the Garden of Eden, nobody sweats, right? So I guess in the Garden of Eden, we're all priests, something like that. All right, there you go. All right, Nicole, $18.11. Thank you, Nicole, for that blessing. Nicole, as well as Jeannie, or some of our hosts on PGN, and Nicole is teaching on the Book of Revelation. I never know what the others are teaching and preaching, or I tell you, because they just kind of do it spontaneously like me, I think. But Nicole has kind of a thing going on here with the Book of Revelation, so we're talking about that. Really, really cool. Check into that. I contacted her today by text. And ask her some questions about some things. And so we're going to talk about some things next week that are really going to be awesome, that are in the Bible, that are in the Word of God, in the Book of Revelation. So we're going to break down the Book of Revelation, you know, in some things that concerning the pre-tribulation rapture and all the fear-mongering theories behind all of it. We're going to talk about all that. I know it's going to offend some people. Maybe a little bit, but just get over it. That's the way it is. We're going to give you the Word of God. So, you know, I'm going to start speaking plainly. I held back for years. I was a pan-out person. Oh, it'll all pan out, because I didn't want to say, you know, what the truth was until God gave me the freedom. Now I'm free. So when I get free, I get a little crazy. Yes, I do. Get drunk with the wine of the Holy Ghost, and I'll tell you the whole truth. Oh, yes, I will. The whole truth. Yeah, the whole truth, Nicole. All right. We're going to give You're going to give the body of Christ, the priest of the Lord, the ministers of the gospel, PGN hosts are going to give people the whole truth. We're going to give them the whole truth. Hallelujah. We don't know the whole truth yet. I don't know the whole truth. You kidding me? But no, Nicole, you have a desire and a passion to know the whole truth, and God's going to give it to you. There's a lot of things probably that we don't have right, that we don't have perfect. Like with me, with the reward thing, I'm changing that. I'm confessing that. I'm saying, telling people about that. I'm telling you know, the mistakes that I made, the reasons that I made those mistakes, what I believe, and how I'm changing, how God is changing me, moving me. This is what we're looking into, is a whole other dimension of being changed into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, Nicole. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the Revelation of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, because it can reveal the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. We're going to see things about the Son of the living God that we've never seen before. It is going to be absolutely amazing. So there's your 777, Angela. All right, Angela, thank you. It just came in. I don't know what happened. It was delayed. Thank you for that. I think I already prayed with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. Y'all, I'm not getting, like, I'm feeling a little bit crazy right now. That Holy Ghost crazy. Yeah, I am. And so I'm praying over people tonight. This whole reward thing, if you understood how big this is and how important this is, you would be saying, I hope he prays that over me. Personally. Amen. And like Carmen, and I'm not saying everybody has to do this. You just do what God's telling you to do. I'm not trying to, you know, just do what God says. But like, Deborah from Washington State, you know, had said she's believing God for the rewards, that she's changed her mind on that. You know, thank God. Looking forward to the rewards. We got to change our thinking and what's in the abundance of our heart, friend. The sooner we do it, the sooner we're going to be blessed. The sooner we do it, the sooner we change. That's why that's that word to Nicole is about change, not afraid to change. You know, we said something last week. You know, this week we're going like, okay, God, there's an adjustment to that. I made a mistake with that. I'm going to add, you know, what God told me to that and maybe take away a couple of things I said. You know, we got to be not afraid to do that. We don't stick to our guns and hide our stuff because we might embarrass God. God is not embarrassed by our mistakes. In fact, he loves it when we come out and say we messed that up. If we try to hide it and protect ourselves, what does it show? That we got pride. And we all have pride to a certain area. We can't let that pride get a hold of you. That's the thing. We can't let it get a hold of us. You've got to be willing to say, I messed that up. That's why I want to be an example as a leader of PGN, as a person who says, I messed that up. I made a mistake. Okay? And y'all love me anyway. Sometimes people respect you more for it. Every once in a while, some self-righteous, arrogant, pompous person will go, man, you're stupid. I'm not listening to you anymore. But there's very few of those people that I know. They're out there, but I don't know many of them. Sure don't have any PGN people that are like that. All right, Sandra, $25 turn. Robert, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Sandra. God, I thank you, Jesus. Y'all, I'm stuck on this. I'm stuck on this tonight. I think this is the blessing for tonight, is this reward thing, that God, you will reward Sandra for everything she desires to do from you, God. She's not going to be afraid to say, I want all the rewards and more. And I'll even take other people's rewards. They don't want their rewards, I'll take them. Oh, what's the scripture for that, Brother Chandler? That's not right. That's greedy, wanting somebody else's rewards if they don't want them. No, here you go. The parable that Jesus taught, Sandra, as you know, about the one who was given one talent, two talents, and five talents. Five blesses, five multiplied his to five more. Two blessed his to two more. He had four. The other one had ten. And then the one who hid his in fear, what happened? He gave it to the one who had the most. Why didn't he divide up the one and give a half to the guy who had two and the other half of a half to the guy who had ten? That would have been more fair, right? But God doesn't think fair like we think fair, y'all. No, he took him and he blessed him. Sandra, are you ready? Going to bless you with what other people don't want. Because they're saying, I don't really want that. I don't really want to be interested in that. And as you humble yourself and you say, God, I'm interested in all the rewards. In fact, if somebody else doesn't want the rewards, I'll take their rewards. That is not greedy. That is not selfish. That is biblical. Hallelujah. Break the shame gain on this reward system in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight. We thank you, Lord, for Daniel. We thank you for blessing Daniel, God. Open Daniel up, God. Show Daniel, God. Let his heart be pure before you, Jesus. The purity of his heart, God. Just anything that's not pure, cleanse it like you're doing me. You're cleansing me by showing me. You don't want my rewards, Randy? You saying you don't want my rewards? You're telling people you don't want my rewards? You don't really care about them that much? That's impurity. Impurity is impurity, Daniel. You know, it doesn't matter. God is changing our heart. He's changing our lives. He's saying, I'm going to make you pure. And purity is believing the Word of God for what the Word of God says, not for what religion says it is, but for what the Lord Jesus says it is. And he wants to bless you and increase you and multiply you extremely. Hallelujah. But you can't reject the reward system, right? You can't do that. Because rejecting that is rejecting the increase. What did God do with the guy who turned his 5 into 10? He said, I'm going to give you 10 cities. I'm going to give you more cities. Because that's the way God does it, Daniel. But we have to believe him for the right way, for the right thing. And God purifies us and says, I want you to quit being religious and talking all that religious nonsense, like he's been telling me that. And I want you to start saying what my word says, Randy. And don't be ashamed of it. Do not be ashamed of it. I thank you, Lord, that Daniel will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ for what the gospel says, for what the word of God says, for Paul the apostle said, anybody who preaches any other gospel than what I'm preaching, let them be accursed. You know why they were accursed? Not because Paul was cursing them, but because when you believe that you don't believe in the reward system, guess what? You get the curse of it. In other words, you don't get the reward from that. When you don't get the reward from that, friend, that's the curse. The curse is the non-blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. He says, if you obey my word, I will bless you. If you don't obey my word, I will curse you. You will be cursed. So what's the curse? The curse is that you didn't do what God said the way God said it, so you don't get that reward. You don't get that blessing. So it's like you're ashamed of the gospel, so you become cursed, a curse in that area that you're ashamed of. Or, you know, I wouldn't know. I'm not in it for the reward. I'm in it just for love. Well, be in it for love, too. Be in it for love. That's no doubt. No, that's wonderful. That's great. But be in it for the reward, too, because the reward is what expands you, what grows you, what makes you what God says. Look at my son Job. Look at Job. I doubled Job. Why? I rewarded him. The reward. Job wasn't saying, I don't want your rewards, God. Right? I know I'm getting crazy. And I'm talking, high pitch. Because I get loaded, that's what I talk about. I got to start getting high pitch. Job didn't say, no, I don't want double. I'll be fine with this. I'll just give me back what I had. I'll be fine. No, he didn't say that. Are you kidding me? He wasn't stupid. He wasn't stupid, Daniel. And we're not stupid either, right? I'm not stupid. You're not stupid. We're not stupid, Daniel. We're going to be wise virgins. Virgins are people who do what God says. The foolish virgins are the ones who... Anyway, I don't want to get into that. I taught on that a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you missed it. I don't know. But we think because we're virgins, we're all that. No, there's foolish virgins and there's wise virgins. I want to be a wise virgin. Oh, Tanisha, you gave $9 and you gave $26. Oh, you snuck. That snuck up on me. I forgot about that. Tanisha, sorry about that. Hallelujah. Thank you. I got you. I just got that. Thank you, Lord. I'm a little slow, but I do get it. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. All right. All right, y'all, I'm getting lost. Hang on a second here. as I try to Hallelujah. My God, I'm really getting on this thing, man. I mean, this is hitting me upside the head. Wow. God is changing me, and I'm going to brag about God changing me. I'm going to brag about my mistakes. That's what Paul the Apostle did. He bragged about his weaknesses. Tanisha, here I am back. Talk about that again. $26. She gave $9 earlier. I prayed over that. Now $26. We might as well just pray again. I hope you don't mind. double down on that, into the double round. How about that? The double round. Well, thank you, Lord, for where she's been, where she's ever been in her thoughts and in her mind and in reality with her finances. God, we ask you to double that. Double it in Jesus' name. Double for her trouble, like you did, just like you did. Job, you doubled him. When he began to pray, Tanisha, as you know, when he began to pray for his, the people that were finding fault with him and really basically accusing him of having wrong motives, they were his friends, actually, in this particular case, but they actually kind of became his enemies because they oppressed him at a time he was already oppressed. They oppressed him at a time he was already battling Job. His friends came on, Tanisha, you know what I'm talking about. And when the tide got turned, just like we read tonight about the reward, that when you reward loan to those who are your enemy and don't expect it back, then God gives you the greater reward. He rewards you greatly. You get the greater reward from that, right? So that's the whole thing about Job. When Job was given the chance, the opportunity to bless the people that that had, basically cursed him, I guess you could say that, right? Okay, y'all, I'm having trouble keeping up with everybody giving, so. Double for your trouble. Exactly, Carmen says double for your trouble. Hallelujah, Tanisha. Confirmation on that one, double for your trouble. All right. Offering, okay, Nicole just gave 2022. Okay, so we're going to add that. I'm going to add that down at the bottom here. We'll pray over that at the end. Sorry. 2022 is the year of 2022 for the treasures, right? Is that what that is? I don't know. Nicole, I'm going to pray for that a little bit. All right. Hallelujah. Amen, Tanisha. Double for your trouble, girl. Pacuara calicasca, calisca, calisca pateo. Blacande, patoca en micha o ma. For the devil tries to take you out, God will use it to raise you up. It is tongue interpretation. Part of it, at least, is right there. Excuse me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jayla. $30. Thank you, Jayla. Lord, my God, what a revelation we were getting with you the other night. Oh, my dear Jesus, that was amazing. Amazing revelation, Jayla. People need to go back and listen to that. That was like mind-boggling about the signs. People think we're not supposed to, the Old Testament was the signs. As you said, and as I believe too before, the New Testament talks about we don't need signs, but it, that's not really what it's saying because, yeah. People know that Moses got signs and that Gideon and his three, and he got signs and other prophets got signs to prove to them that God was with them. The reason he did that for them is because they knew that they were regular human beings. If they'd have been arrogant, pompous jackasses, they probably would have went, yo, I know, I'm great. Instead, they were going like, God, no. What, me? Me? Yeah. Can you give me a sign? And the sign became, the evidence for them, or at least to help them get there. Because that's just for the Old Testament, but for the New Testament, you and I got into this thing for the first time I've ever seen before. Jesus gave signs all the time. What were the signs for? Raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, cleansing the leper in front of his disciples. What was that for? That was because his disciples, all 12 of them, or 11 of them, I believe, were going to do the same signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus did signs in front of them all the time. That's the New Testament. You know, I've never seen that before. That was brand new, Jayla. My God, God's going to cause you to that was a special blessing for you. That was special revelation for you. That's like God told Peter, Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You know, flesh and blood was not revealing it to you. The Holy Spirit was revealing that to you, pouring it into your soul. If you eat that, chew that, let that become part of you, oh, my God. Signs and wonders are not just spiritual miracles, but they're, you know, one of the miracles was when Peter went and got the coins out of the fish's mouth. That was a miracle. That was a sign. That was a sign for Peter going, hey, I want to take care of you. Here's a sign. Get some money out of a fish. You're a fisherman? You know, he used that as a sign for Peter. That was a sign. So there's New Testament signs out there. So this whole thing about no sign is totally misunderstood. And God is giving you, is turning this thing around in your mind and your heart and using you to turn it around in people and giving them signs by using you to give signs. God doing signs through you and in you and around you. Hallelujah. Let it be done in Jesus' name, according to thy word. According to, not our word, not, we don't take a Bible scripture and do it, according to thy word. It was the word that the angel gave to Mary that she was saying, according to that word, not the whole Bible, that word. That word you gave me. Yeah, not, pick any Bible scripture you want. She didn't ask Gabriel, can I pick any scripture I want? And he would have said, no, you take the one I'm bringing you, the word I'm bringing you. That's the word that you say, according to thy word. According to thy word for who? For Mary. Hallelujah. You get a word from God. It's for us. It's a gift. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bless us, Lord. Open us up. Fascinate us with your glory. I'm not going to be ashamed to say we are fascinated with the power of God. We are fascinated with the glory. We're fascinated by signs. We're not ashamed of signs. It's God's way. Hallelujah. The devil wants us to be ashamed of signs now. Oh, you don't have to be, let's wear a sign. Well, you know, yeah, Jesus didn't say that, but he said it's a completely different thing he was talking about. I'm not talking about like this. I'm not going to get into it right now, but y'all, come on. The word of God is the word of God. Woo-ha. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is the sign and wonder man. And I'm not going to be ashamed of signs anymore either, bless God, because I want them. It's in the gospel. Oh, you're not supposed to, not, you know, we were talking about this the other night. But that was the Old Testament, Randy. That's what I've been, I know, I said the same thing, and I believe the same thing. You know what? And then God, all of a sudden God opened me up to this New Testament stuff about Jesus. That's all he did was signs. He did signs everywhere. Certain signs are for unbelievers, and certain other signs are for, you know, when you're having trouble with something, that means you're not that you're not saved, unbeliever, unsaved, not unsaved being unsaved mean unbeliever. I mean, unbeliever mean you're not saved. But there's people who believe, but help my unbelief. So what does God do with your unbelief? That you struggle and you battle with, you know, we say we believe in prosperity, but we can't never seem to get there. Why? Because there's something in you in all truth that really doesn't believe it. So if I get wealthy, if I get blessed, I'm probably going to turn from God and turn to a greedy, sorry, no good, trashed out, piece of hogwash, nonsense, horse hockey, and I don't want to be that. But yet we say we want to be blessed, but yet we have that thing inside of us that just struggles and battles and accuses men and women who have money as they probably got it by doing something crooked. So therefore, we judge ourselves as we'd probably be crooked. So we're not going to want to be crooked, so we can't get blessed because we might be crooked if we get blessed. judgments all over the place. You and me, all of us. God's saying, come on, man. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to condemn you for thinking that, because I know that's what people do. I'm here to set you free. I didn't come to stone the woman who caught adultery. I didn't come to condemn you for your mistakes, your failures. Don't be ashamed to say you messed up and made a mistake. Don't be ashamed to say, I thought this was it. I swore up and down this was it. And God said, that's not it. And you went, oh, wow. Okay, I changed my mind. The Word of God showed me something different. What do I want to be ashamed of that for? It's going to shame God? No. It's going to bring respect to you and show that God has the power to change us when we're so hard-hearted. We believe something so strong, we're going to change our mind for nothing. Then all of a sudden, God changed our mind. We're going, whoo, wow, that was amazing. God is awesome. And people respect you because you changed. Pride. Oh, and I've had plenty of pride, and I still have pride sometimes. I think we all got pride to a certain degree, but it's when we let pride rule us. That's when we're messed up. That's the reason to humble yourself, I'll exalt you.
Well, God, I don't want to be exalted, because if I get exalted, you know, exaltation, that's not good. We just exalt God. We just exalt God. Yeah, God says, if you exalt me, I will exalt you. Why do you keep refusing to be exalted? Huh?
Because you're afraid you'll get pompous and arrogant like you've been? Maybe I have a fear of that. Okay, is that a problem? No. Just overcome it, Chandler. Get over it, boy.
Okay, Jesus, help me. Please.
Help me. Help me, Jesus. Yeah, I need lots of help. Please. Dear God. What am I afraid of being exalted for? Because it's scary to be exalted. Every time things start going really right with me, I start going, okay, wait a minute now. Hang on. Oh, dear God. Will I be able to handle this? Can I handle it? Then I talk myself out of the blessing. And I'm afraid I might fall away from Jesus. And I love Jesus. I do everything I do. I want to do Jesus. I love Jesus. Are these blessings going to make me fall away from God? Well, if they are, you know, overcome it, for crying out loud. You're going to be fine. If you start getting exalted, and you might get the big head. I've had the big head before, the fat head. As a Christian, as a believer, as a prophet, I've had the fat head before. I have. Okay. You know what? God started humbling me. Old Roberts talked about it himself. And he had a big head. He hated to watch himself preach when he was back in the tent days. He said, I can't stand to watch myself because I look so arrogant. That's what he said. I didn't say that. I like Oral Roberts. We humble. We grow. We learn. We fail. We make mistakes. We come before God. We ask him, we're sorry. We're sorry we did that. We're sorry we thought like that. Please help us, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Marge, the $30. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Marge, I thank you, Lord, for blessing her. God, for taking everything out of her heart that keeps her from being blessed, from being married, being happy, and being joyful, and being a happy person. God wants you happy, Marge. He wants you to be happy, but if you're afraid making you happy is going to make you get walk away from God somehow or another, or not be totally dedicated to Jesus, then welcome to not getting married thing, or not being blessed financially, or whatever. Fears. Listen, I know people that wanted to have babies really bad. Whether they married and they wanted to have children, but couldn't have children because they made a vow in their heart that they would never have children because of something happened to them when they were younger. So therefore, until they broke that vow, even though they wanted to get pregnant, they had to literally come in and say, "I break that vow. I'm not wanting to get pregnant. I want to have children because I'm afraid I won't be able to raise them. I'm afraid I might abuse them." You know, God, forgive me for judging myself of that and judging you and judging them. Forgive me, God. Wash me, cleanse me, and I break that vow. And then they could get pregnant and have children. Then they got pregnant and had children. They want to have children the whole time when they weren't able to have children, but they weren't able to have children. Why? Because they had that fear in them. They had that judgment in them. They had that vow that they made that said, I'm never going to have children because I might abuse my children like my daddy abused me. Therefore, they couldn't get pregnant. They had to get free of that. Christians, believers, lovely people, wonderful people, couldn't get pregnant. Because they had a vow inside them. Wanted to get pregnant. People want to be blessed, but they can't. You know why? Because they got vows. They got stuff going on inside them that they've judged other people because they're probably rich, but they probably messed everybody around. They're probably a bunch of dirty scumbags, you know, wealthy people. What's the slime bags? Messing people around? Cheating, lying? That's why they get that money. How dare we judge anybody for anything? Yeah, does that happen? Of course it happens. We judge people of that, we don't get blessed. We judge people different things, we don't get pregnant. We judge people there, we judge ourselves, we have fears. Guess what? Those fears stop us, whether we like it or not. Merciful Jesus has to set us free. That's how his mercy works. His mercy works in coming here and help us get free of those judgments so we can open ourselves up to that. I can tell you, I'm going to talk about more of my stuff here soon about, you know, having a mate and the whole thing and a lot of the stuff. I mean, I've had some real, you know, some stuff going on there. It's hard to talk about, but I'm going to humble myself and do it. Why? Because I want people to be free. It's like you do, Margaret. All right, Nikki and Charles, $50, okay, 25 and 25 or 30 and 20 or something like that. The friends of the prodigals come home in our family. Amen. And I'm going to agree with that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that evangelism spirit, God, that father's heart that you've given Charles and Nikki, Father, to wait and look for and waiting for their sons and their daughters to come, you know, like the prodigal son did, you know, coming around that corner, coming back to God, saying, I'm not worthy to be, you know, God, just be a servant. And they said, no way, we're going to restore you completely. God, I thank you for the heart you've given Nikki and Charles for that, God. They have a heart for that. They're going to restore when their children come back. You know, they're going to be like father, like the prodigal father, waiting for that, waiting, longing, looking, not giving up. You bless them with that, Jesus. Open them up to that. Bless them, keep them, watch over them. Hallelujah. Let their hearts continue to you know, be what when and when they see him coming, that they run to them. Nikki and Charles, run to grab their child and kiss them and love them and say, yeah, you smell like hog crap and boy, everything else, that I love you. Your breath smells like horse, you know, like corn husk. Yeah, my God, what have you been eating? I don't know. I don't care. I love you. Come on in here. We're going to clean you up. We love you. We're going to bless you. We're going to restore you completely. There's no vindictiveness. There's no unforgiveness. You are totally forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Angie, $50 and then $5 or $5. I think you gave five. I get lost. Yeah, 555. Angie gave 555. $5.55. Thank you, Angie. Yes, thanks for that grace. Thank you, Lord, for all those judgments and stuff that we make about rich people and wealthy people and people who walk in miracle signs and wonders. We think that they probably got some. Yeah, they probably got some hidden sin. You know, this is what I'm just talking about my stuff. Yeah, they probably got some hidden sin because you always hear about these great men of God. They always had some hidden sin going, like Jimmy Swaggart. You know, he was a great man of God. He is a great man of God, in my opinion, even though he failed. I still love him, and he's a man of God. But, you know, so you know, but we think, oh, there's something. Yeah. So if I become a great man of God or a great woman of God, will I have some hidden secret failure thing going on that will be exposed someday? So therefore, I can't be successful with God and be in the ministry. Yeah. I'll be some horrible person behind the scenes and be a fake, you know. Is that the way I'm going to be? We have a fear of that. Yeah, it's going to hinder us. And I thank you, Lord, for every hindrance, everything that stops Angie from believing you're going to bless her financially and any judgment, anything that she has, in any kind of fashion or form, even hidden some stuff that she didn't realize is there. It's like you're doing with me, God. Every day you're showing me stuff that in my heart where I like this reward thing, where I said, I never really understood in rewards. He said, what are you talking about? That's my word, Randy. It's my word. You're not believing my word? You don't want my word? I go, yeah, but, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just had to say I'm sorry. I argue with God. I think God argues with this. He's just a much better arguer than I am. He always nails me with love and truth every time. Convinces me. He doesn't do it. He convinces me. I mean, it's some convincing time. It's convincing time again. I'm here to love you. And I'm going to show you every time the truth from my perspective. Because it'll set you free and you'll be free indeed. And you'll walk in my glory and share it with the whole world. And then Mark and Deborah, $54. Thank you, Mark and Deborah. Bless you. The blessings of God be upon you. amen, every hindrance, every blockage in Jesus' name, the knowns and the unknowns. And sometimes people send me a prayer request. They said, unknown prayer request, they're not telling me what the prayer request is. I can't, my mind's doing, but I'm going, okay, unknown prayer request. Okay, so you're not going to tell me what it is. All right, so I'm going to believe that. Yeah, so but the unknown things that we have, the things that we don't even know, things that we're blind to. People don't think they're blind to anything, and yet we're so blind we don't even know it. That's the problem. Blind spots are things that we don't know. So if we don't know it, then how do we know what's stopping us, right? Like the things I've been talking about. Like those things, I didn't know those things were stopping me from getting God's reward to do God's will. I didn't know. I was blind to that. Blind means you don't know, right? Deborah and Markel know that. You know, so we're all blind to a certain degree. We have to realize there's things that we don't know that we're blocking, and we don't even know that we're doing it. No, we're not doing it on purpose. We're not stupid. We're not arrogant. We're not ugly and crude and evil. No, we don't know. We're ignorant. And the sad thing is those things block us anyway. That's what's unjust about the whole thing, is that our ignorance, the things that we're blind at, you know, toward relationship, toward money, toward wealth, toward blessing, toward, you know, people getting saved in our lives and people getting healed and delivered, you know. We're projecting the opposite of what we're saying, because we don't even know the things that we're blinded on. So you know what, Deborah, Mark, you know what God's doing? He's opening our blinded eyes. God, I thank you tonight that Deborah and Mark have an anointing for opening blinded eyes. Things in people's lives that they would swear to God that they know that they don't believe that they would ever have that problem. And yet God says they had that problem and they just don't know it because they're blind. They can't see it. And then God opens their eyes, and then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, they're going, oh, my God, I didn't know I had that. Jesus, forgive me. And you got to, yeah, but forgive them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Because we understand, Deborah Mark, we understand what being blind is. In other words, you're doing things, you don't know, you swear up and down, you're not, no, I would never do that for that reason. Peter said, I will never deny. I will never deny. Yet he had a denier inside of him the whole time. But he swore up and down and believed it with all of his heart. I will never deny you. He was so blind, Jesus even told him to his face, hey, dude, you're going to deny me. Oh, I will never do that. I'm not blind. Never. I know everything about everything I know about myself. Yeah. Who are you, God, telling me that I know ain't going to happen? I know I don't have a problem with it. Not me. Yeah, until God opens your eyes, and then, you know, a few days later, you're at the feet of Jesus. He's cooking you some fish, and you're saying, God, I hope he accepts me back. He says, yeah, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, you were blind. You didn't know it, right? Yeah, you were blind. But you know what? The thing is I know you were blind, and then you didn't know it, that you didn't know. That's why your arrogant, pompous, so-called attitude didn't bother me too much, because I know you just doing it because you're blind. You're not because you're arrogant. You know, so much as and you're stupid is because you're blind. And blindness makes you do things that you don't even know why you're doing it. You're just doing it, and you don't even know you're doing it. This is the human race. So, Deborah, Mark, God, give me that miracle anointing to open the eyes of the blind, of the people who do things that swear up and down to God that they're not doing it for that reason. I would never deny. I would never do like that. I would never. Never. And yet it's the very thing that they're doing that they don't even know they're doing, because they don't know they're doing it because they're what? They're blind to it. And we need a miracle revival, a festival of love, Darren Mark, of the love of God pouring out on us, that's poor, blind, naked, and we don't even know it. We're just like strutting around like we've got it going on. We know everything. Yeah, you know, oh, I don't really know everything, but yes, I really do think I know everything, but yet I can't say that. You know, do I have anything, any real issues? No, not really. It's all my wife's problem. No, it's all my husband's problem. It's all my boss's problem. It's all my preacher's problem. It's all Randy's problem. It's never my problem. No, I'm not blind. So God has to open our eyes, and then we come back to the altar of repentance saying, dear Jesus, forgive me. You know, I didn't know I was doing that. Peter goes, God, you know, I just knew I wasn't going to deny you ever. Why would I do that? I love you. He said, yeah, you have some things you're blind to, Peter. But you know what? I love you. You're going to feed my sheep, and you're going to grow out of it. I'm going to open your blinded eyes. You're going to see more and more and more. Paul's going to rebuke you later for being a hypocrite. You know, I just let him kind of take it from there. You know, but you're going to make it, man. You're going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. All right. Martine, $57. Thank you, Lord, for Martine tonight. I missed Martine last week. Martine gave $57 actually last week. And I missed her. Sorry, Martine. You know I didn't do it on purpose. Of course she knows I do it on purpose, but I do mess up sometimes. I get too many things going on at once. So I thank you, Jesus, right now, for the love of God, for your mercies and your kindness and your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hang on a second. Some of you are giving, and I'm going to put it at the end, okay? Hope you don't mind. I'm going to put it at the end and pray at the end over those, Nicole and Titus, and that's about it. But, okay, so I'm adding it at the end, so thank you for being patient here tonight with me. All right, I'm just going to go in flow. I'm not going to stop the flow of preaching whatever I feel like preaching, talking about whatever I feel like talking about. And just like Martine has been one of the ones who come on the show and says, you know, I overthink things, I over this, over that. What is she saying? She's saying, Randy, you know, I know that I have the issues that I have, you know, but do we know every issue that we have? Of course we don't know every issue that we have. We hinder ourselves more than we realize. It's like I just told Mark and Beverly, you know, they know all that, but, you know, God has done something for me, Randy Chandler, done something for you, Deborah Mark. He's done something for you, Martin. He's opening up our eyes and showing us that, hey, you know, if you quit trying to straighten everybody else out, you know, that's what I like about Martin, you know, she realizes that she's got some things she talks about. You know, but talking about it is wonderful, but doing it is a whole different thing, right? So that's what God's doing. He's given us the power, Martin, to do something about it, to change, to reverse the cycle in our family, to reverse the cycle, where not only do we just break the cycle of it, but we start believing the opposite. We start believing that God's going to reward us with great rewards of great marriages and great families and great blessings and great finances and great anointing to help people. We have a calling and a purpose. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be messed up because of our ignorance and our blindness, because you're going to open up our blinded eyes, and our ignorance is going to change to knowledge. The knowledge of the Lord is what changes our ignorance. We're all ignorant until God gives us the knowledge of Jesus, and the knowledge of Jesus literally turns us around. Sometimes what we need, we don't realize that we don't need direction, we need knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, not just head knowledge, but the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ will get you going in the right direction without even trying. Sometimes people call in and say, should I go this way or should I go that way? And sometimes God's not in either way, but they already got their mind made up that should I go to the right or to the left? Which one is it, Randy, right or left? Which one is it, God, right or left? God says, I didn't say right or left. Why do you want to go right or left for? You're asking me, pressuring me to give you an answer about right or left? Why don't you just go straight? Try going straight. Just keep going. But you see what I'm saying? So we think it's all about... We know that, okay, my decision that I have to make before me is to go to the right or go to the left. Which one is it? And God's not either one of them. So I'm like, I'm going to give you knowledge of Christ, not turn right or left. I want to open up your eyes to me. I want to open your eyes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit open your eyes to Jesus. Right? And when you get knowledge of God, then knowledge of God becomes a light into your pathway, and you get guided God's direction, and you don't even know it because you're not trying hard. It's just happening. It's just working that way. It's just, you know, it's just easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And why don't we have it so heavy? Because we got preachers like me and others that have taught it as being heavy all these years. We make it heavy for people. God says, take the burden off of them, Randy. Take the burden off of them. Take the burden off my people. Make my yoke easy, my burden light. Not heavy, not difficult. Not you have to fast for 40 days and bend under the law and do all these things before you get your... No, sometimes the answer we need is the knowledge of Christ. We need a word from God. wisdom from heaven that may have nothing to do with what we're thinking right or left about, but the wisdom that we get from heaven just kind of find, we find ourselves just kind of going the right direction, going straight, which is what God wanted the whole time, instead of right or left. You see what I'm saying? And we find ourselves just going straight. Well, what happened to that right or left thing? Well, that never was God. Well, why did I, you know, how did I make it through it? He said, because I give you knowledge of me. And the knowledge of me guided you straight ahead. And you were trying to stop and make me make a decision and give you your prayer request was, do I go right or left? And I'm not in either one of them at this time. Maybe next time, but not this time. And so God is opening up our hearts and our minds to all this stuff. All right, Mike and Veronica, $65. Thank you, Lord, for blessing their business. God, I thank you, Lord, that this whole message is not about reward system. The reward system will penetrate their being, God. Because I've even heard Mike say, and I've said it myself, and other people have said it. Mike has said it here on the show. You know, money will just really mess you up. You've said that right here on the show, Mike. I heard you say it. You said it to me. You said it to others. You said you, because you've seen it happen to people. You've seen money change people, right? But the thing is, we got to realize when we're in Christ Jesus and we're walking with God, you know, if money does change us for a little bit, if we keep our heart right with God, God's going to bring our heart back to where it's supposed to be, and then we can be blessed and still walk with God. We have this judgment that, you know, money really will mess you up, man. You don't realize it until you start getting it. Yeah. Yeah, if you're not growing in Jesus, and if you're not, you know, repentable and changeable, and let God change you as you go, as he makes you wealthy and blesses you in whatever way he does it, that to be able to change and stay right with God and repent when you mess up and make mistakes and not be arrogant and pompous and, you know, proud, and your money makes you, you know, something that you're not supposed to be. No. We're being made by Jesus, not by money. So we have to fear what money can do to us. Money's our servant. What do we have to fear what it does to us? It's what we do to it. We control the money. The money does not control us, right? Yeah, but we have to keep our heart right, and it is a battle. There's no doubt about it. So God, open up Mike and Veronica. Bless them, God. Show them your reward system in Jesus' name, and open them up to the valley of the shadow of death. We have to fear no evil. We don't have to fear any evil of what money might do to us. We don't have to worry about money going to do for us. You know, God blesses money. Money becomes a servant for us. We don't serve mammon. Mammon serves us. Hallelujah. If we're walking with Jesus, and I think, Lord, they're walking with you. They're talking with you. They're being blessed by you. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Amen. Angela Joy, $80. Thank you, Angela, for that. We just bless you in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up, God, and blessing her, God, with this message tonight about how to be blessed and prosperous, and without being ashamed to say it and talk about it. Like, oh, we can't really talk about that, because if we do, oh my God, you know, if we talk about that we're going to be like the prosperity gospel people. That they were full of, they got full of the devil, and oh my God, it was really horrible. Yeah, well, maybe it's time, maybe it's season for us to be blessed. Maybe that's what's going on. Huh? Think it could be? I think so. That mean that we can't, that we might be tempted and we might make mistakes and we might fail? Absolutely. We might. It's possible. What do we have to be afraid for? What are we afraid of it for? Because we've been taught all this stuff. Yeah, we have. We've been taught all this stuff. What are we doing? We're scared to death to really open up and say, I want to be blessed. I want to be rich. I want to be favored. I want all the rewards God has for me. I want it all. I want every nickel and dime. Everything God wants, I want every business opportunity. I want it all. I'll take it all, and I'm going to give it all to God. I'm going to give God all the glory. I'm going to give God all the praise. And if I start failing for making mistakes, I'm going to believe God to straighten me out and to help me out. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Yeah, I can't be afraid to fail. I can't be afraid to be blessed. It's really blessing me. Okay, good. I have heard of this from someone else this week. Oh, wow. I want it all. Really? That's Angela Joy sending me. Yeah. I'm telling you, girl, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying, because you know what? We have a, we, we, You know, I'm talking about me, right? I think this is for most people that are like me, regular human beings who love Jesus, who want to be blessed, but we're afraid of it, or what it might do. And God says, yeah, it can change you. It can, but you don't let money control you. You control the money. In other words, when God, here's how you control it. You know how to control the money, Angela? You know how to do it. When God says, give that $100 you just got that you think you need for something else, give that $100 to the poor person next door. And even though they may not be out working, they may look like they're being lazy, just still do what I tell you to do. What keeps the money from controlling us is that we control the money by doing what God says to do with the money. The money controls us because it tells us, no, you need that $100 to pay your phone bill. If you don't pay your phone bill, how are you going to call in to the show? Send me a big heart. How are you going to call into the show? How are you going to have a phone? But if you don't have a phone, how are you going to connect to PGN? How are you going to be able to call into the show and minister to people? You can't do that without you got to pay your bill. What are you going to do? God? Yeah. You still want me to give the $100 over there? You know I can't pay my bill. I can't minister to people. He said, just minister to people the way I tell you to minister to people. Give the poor people, dadgum, the $100. And what happens? Then the money doesn't control us. We control the money because God tells us what to do with the money. And we do what God said. Therefore, we do not fall down and worship mammon. Mammon falls down and worship at the throne room of God. We control it. And the only way we can control money, can I just be real honest with you, my friend? The only way we can control money, because money is powerful, is that we do what God says to do with our money. And most people don't even tithe. Most people don't even tithe, which is God telling them to give what belongs to him. Most people don't even do that. So it's money. Why are they afraid that money's going to control them? Because money will control them, because they don't even give their tithe, much less an offering, because money's controlling them. Don't give that. You don't need that $10. That $10, what's that $10 going to do the church? That church has millions of dollars. What's your little $10 going to do anybody? Don't give that $10. They don't need that $10. Let everybody else take care of that. There's plenty of, they don't need that, but it's not that $10. Is controlling you. Because you're supposed to give your tithe to the place that the storehouse that feeds you and that blesses you, and you're sitting there telling God, what's my $10 going to do? Because that $10 is talking to you and controlling you. Yeah, your money talks, but you're supposed to be talking to your money. And you're supposed to be talking to money, telling your money what God says. I'm getting crazy tonight, y'all. I'm loving this stuff. I'm getting crazier by the minute. I'm getting loopy. Whatever that is. The day of Pentecost. They're not going to take us serious if we keep having one day of Pentecost after the other. And all we do is laugh and have fun and enjoy ourselves. Prophesy and see thousands get saved by laughing and giggling and getting drunk in the spirit. Now, my God, we don't want that, right? No, we don't want the day of Pentecost, because the people aren't going to take us serious. Yeah, I've had a lot of people tell me that. I believe that for a long time, as I've already confessed. Hallelujah, Chris from Texas, $100. Woo, I see the Holy Ghost loosening you up, bro. I mean, I'm sure you're already loose. But I say he's going to loosen you up. He's going to loosen you up. He's going to loosen you up and loosen you up and loosen you up. You know why? Because he's going to have you loosen whatever's loosed in heaven, loosed on earth, is loosed in heaven. All right? He's going to loosen you up so much that whatever you loose is going to be loosed. God, I'm so loosed up. I'm so loopity loosed that I'm just going to loose some things from heaven right now. So I loose the blessings of God so I can bless some people, so I can buy that building for Randy Chandler and PGN. I want to get so loose, God, that I can loose from heaven whatever I believe God wants to loose from heaven, and it's an abundance. Hallelujah. I'm going to get so loose. I'm going to loose you, bro. You're getting loosed. Loose him, Jesus. Yeah. For the sake of the kingdom of God, loose him. Let him get so loosed that he gets loose, so he can loose from heaven the blessings of God, that he won't stop or hinder or be intimidated by the magnitude, multitude blessings of God, exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think or imagine. Let him get that kind of loose. I want to get loose like that, Jesus. Just say it, Chris. I want to get loose like that. I want to get loose, exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think or even imagine. That's how loose I want to get. Hallelujah. Loose me. Just loose me, Jesus. I'm Chris the Loosed. Yeah. Chris the Loosed. I've been loosed. Yeah. I'm not sorry. I keep wanting to say I'm sorry. I'm acting like myself, but I am not sorry at all. I'm not sorry at all. Woo! Endrika, $100. Endrika, I'm getting, about time to get to you. I'm really getting crazy. I'm getting crazy mode here. Hallelujah. Por caro coraca de Chegui Labrando. We pray over the clip of the nation. Yes, you may have a tico choco. I see some electricity. I see some electricity just electrifying you, like empowering you, like an electric bolt of, like an electric bolt. Hallelujah. Getting in your soul, getting in your mind. So you think like lightning fast. So you think of lightning flashing, like you think lightning fast, creative, like you think like God, quick, sharp. The word of God is quick and sharp like a lightning, thunder is lightning. This is what I keep seeing is lightning bolts. Lightning bolts, lightning bolts, lightning bolts. What are lightning bolts? They strike fast, boom, it's a big explosion of light, and then they're gone. And then they strike again. Lord, I thank you for striking, God, with light and glory from heaven, God, and breaking through in the heavens over her, thundering and lightning and exploding in the name of Jesus and blessing her, God. Let her soul, let her mind, let her will, her emotions, God, grasp the word of God, the will of God, the blessing of God, Jesus, where we are not intimidated, where we're not saying with our mouth we want to be blessed, and yet we had fears and intimidation in our heart. Hallelujah. Well, we're not saying with our mouth we want to be blessed, but in our heart we fear it. God, set us free from the fears in our heart that we don't even know that are there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, loosen us, God, with the lightning fast thunder and lightning bolts of heaven. And Jesus, thunder over her life, God. Bring the breakthrough. Let the heavens rock and roll over her in the name of Jesus. Like a mighty warfare. One night I was in the studio. I was a minute in, like I am now, I'm in a different studio right now, but what I call a studio, it's not really a studio, but, and I'm waiting for the studio, but when I was in, doing the show in a privacy, and I was, you know, just going at it, and all of a sudden, you know, the Lord started showing me there was lightning and thunder going on in the heavens, and the angels were having a tremendous warfare. Well, all of a sudden, the thunder was so strong, it kind of like rattled the building or something. I thought, my God, what's going on out there? It was thundering and lightning both were thundering, and God told me, he said, that's not just the natural realm, that's the spiritual realm. There's angelic battles going on in that. And the very next day, and I talked about that on the show, it's all documented on the show, and I said, you know, something's going on in Texas. And then right after that, our governor decides to break free from the system of the administration of Joe Biden, basically. Yeah, that happened just a few days later. Yeah, God just started breaking loose, man. I mean, started breaking loose. It was amazing. And that's what I'm seeing with you. In Jesus' name, over your children, over Tyreek, over Torrey, God, the thunder and lightning bolt of heaven, bringing breakthroughs, doing warfare in the heavens, God, because we can't make it unless you break us through. If you don't break us through, if your angels and Michael and Gabriel and who all the other angels are, God, and our personal angels and all are working together, we're not going to win anything, because the supernatural realm, the demons, they're too powerful for us. Outside of Jesus, we can't make it. But Lord, in you, with your kingdom, with our prayers, with our callings, and with our mouth and our hearts being changed and saying what you tell us to say, God, we stir up and feed the angels the food they need to fight a good fight. Hallelujah. To fight a good fight. Taking those prophecies that we meditate to fight a good fight. Cause the heavens to stir and shake and rock and roll, because God's angels and his warring angels and the host of heaven are changing things. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we just find out what happens the next day on Tyreek and Torrey, Chris and Trika. In Jesus' name, just let that thunder and lightning, those bolts of thunder. I saw white lightning, bolts of thunder and lightning, you know, like over you or something. I don't know what that was. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly breakthrough, like that night in Texas. God told me something's happening in Texas, specifically in Texas. And, you know, literally the next day, the next few days, it all, our governor just started standing up for things. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah, I'll do that for Noah, for Andrika and her whole family in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. To bring that blessing, the eternal blessing from the heavens above, Father, for her family in Jesus' name, from the promises of God, like he did with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Andrika and Chris and Torrey and Tyreek in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Noel, $100. Thank you, Noel. In Jesus' name, bless you. God, I thank you that, you know, God is going to make you so aware, Noel, that you can't do it without him. I know you already know that, just like I kind of already know it, but God is opening me more up, and it's the fear of God. It's the reverential fear of God. Sometimes we think the fear is coming on us, like it's like, oh, God, you know, the fear. But sometimes that fear, we don't recognize, but that fear is a fear and awe of God showing us, you know, because the fear and awe of God works in us, showing us that we can't make it. Well, that's the devil, Randy. That's the flesh. No, we can't make it. Jesus couldn't make it. Noel, you know this. Jesus couldn't make it without the Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Why? Because he walked in the reverential fear and awe of God. It wasn't just like, oh, I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want, anytime I want, because I'm the Son of God. My daddy will give me whatever I want. But he knew a greater level. That when I do whatever I see my Father do, he knew that if he didn't, that things were not going to be right. They might be look good for a little bit, but they were going to end up being wrong. They're going to end up going the wrong direction. They may start out looking like they're going the right direction, but then 2 days from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now, he's going to see, oh, that went the wrong direction. Why? Because he did precisely what the Father told him to do, because he walked in the fear of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked in the fear and reverential awe of God. He knew that without the Father, he would not be successful in what really needed to be done to deal with the root issue of sin and debauchery and evil and wickedness. That's why he obeyed the Father. It wasn't because he was trying to get blessed only. Yeah, he was getting blessed. He was enjoying himself. He, you know, and what he was looking for was the reward of the Father. What was that reward for him? But for him, the one of the many rewards was that my Father, to hear my Father say, thou good and faithful servant, right? And good and faithful servants don't come short of the glory. Jesus walked in wealth. There was so much money coming into his ministry. It was amazing because as many people he healed and delivered, do you think they didn't give money, whether it be $5 or $5 million to his ministry? Thank you, you know, because he helped poor people, rich people. He helped everybody. He healed and delivered all kinds of people. Some of those lepers he healed, I think some of those, their families had a lot of money. You think they didn't give that money to him? You better believe they did. He knew that was part of the reward. He was able to feed the poor. That's why he had at the supper table, they thought Judas was just going to take care of the poor because he did it all the time. Jesus took his wealth and took care of the poor. That's part of the thing he did with it. Yeah, because they thought Judas was going, remember the scripture where on communion where they thought he was getting up to go take care of some poor people because he had the money bag? Yeah, Jesus had a lot of money coming in, a lot of money. He had everything. And that what pleased the Father was that Jesus did what the Father told him to do with everything he got. And so because he did what the Father said with everything he got, it's why God blessed him with exceeding abundantly above all he could ever think or even imagine or ask for. That's why Judas loved his job. He never seen so much money. He never seen so much money. Yeah. There's a lot of money. And he got greedy, greedy, greedy. Yeah. So, Noel, that's what the Lord's saying. That fear, let God show you that sometimes the fear you feel, the fear, that thing is knowing that if I make a step without God, I'm going to mess up something. If I make a step without God, I got to do what God says. I got to do what the Lord shows me. And when I do that, that evil will be defeated. Destruction will not destroy me, but God will destroy destruction. God will destroy, pay back the way he chooses, not the way I choose, but the way he chooses, in Jesus' name. Because the fear of God on you, Noel, it's a powerful fear, the fear and reverence of God. When I had it hit me in my belly that night, when Biden, on November the 7th, when Biden was announced to have won the election, the fear of God that hit me, it felt like real fear, you know, like fear, oh God, oh no. And I thought, and God says to me, he said, everything I told you, Randy, is about to come to pass. And I'm like going, dear Jesus, everything? Because that was not a hallelujah moment necessarily, because it was like, oh my God, the Antichrist and the two witnesses, and I know what all that means. That means it's going to be rocking and rolling, and it's going to be like, oh my God, like we've never seen before. And that was a fear. But it was, you know, later I realized that was a fear of God, the reverential fear and awe of God, but it felt kind of fearful. Amen? So, and I realized that was God's fear to keep me on track. It was fear, the fear of God, to keep me trusting him. Without that fear, we're not going to do it. Amen? All right, Carmen, $120.20. Your check came in today, $120.27, and then $17.50. Thank you for that. That's 137, almost 138. Thank you, Carmen, for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just bless her tonight, God. I thank you, Father, for double for her trouble, God, in Jesus' name. That you increase her and multiply her, Father. That she blesses those who curse her and does good to those. God, that you, this whole thing about the reward system, about her even texting me tonight saying that she wants that thing. God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Grant that to her, that she will work less and make more. Amen. Work less and make more. That is the Garden of Eden blessing. No sweat and getting a lot done. Work one day and get what you get done normally. If you work 7 days a week, get more done in one day. That's what the blessing is. So you can do things for God. Amen. If all you want to do is sit around on your lazy butt and do nothing, then, you know, that's not a right prayer to pray, right? But you're not lazy. You're like me. You work for God. You do whatever. That's why that prayer is an awesome prayer. We work one day, and we get paid for seven, so to speak. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a blessing of God. And we spend our time, you know, seeking after God and doing God stuff. It's all the motive. People that say, I don't want the blessing. I don't want the rewards of God, I think they got a fear inside them. They're going to take the rewards of God and just use it for their little selfish rear end, you know, their little bootay, just for themselves. No, we're not doing the rewards for ourselves. We're going to do what God says with it. Because the more we do what God says with it, the more he blesses and gives us more. We get so much more that, you know, we're helping the whole world. And step into that love realm where God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Bring him to Christ, man. Bring him to Christ, karma. Bring him to Christ. Bring him to Christ. Donald and Tanya gave $78 earlier and $96. Amen. Donald and Tanya. Donald is going to share his testimony soon. He got a job that he says was a fulfillment of the prophecy. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him about it specifically. He's going to call in sometime and share it. So we're looking forward to that. Thank God bless you, Donald and Tanya. Amen. In Jesus' name, God has given you courage. He's helped you along the way. He's shown you that he's with you. He's encouraged you, built you up for himself. Not only, he didn't just build you up for you. He does build you up for you, but he builds you up for you so that you will be built up for him. Amen. David built himself up in the Lord. We got to not be ashamed of building ourselves up in the Lord, of being blessed, of being favored, of having money and being prosperous. Why? So we can bless the kingdom of God. TGN, we help people. We help people. Now, we don't tell people about it. Most people don't know who we help or how we help people, but we help people. And you know, we just do it. Why? Because God blesses us. We just say, well, let's just do what God says with it. The more I do what God says with it, the more God blesses me. And the more I get rid of this fears of, and that self-righteous, arrogant thing in me that says I don't want the rewards of God when it's all through the Bible, that God wants to bless us with rewards. And we're saying, oh, I'm not really interested in that. Like I've been doing for a long time. God says, Randy, what are you doing, man? You believe that one heavy, too. That's like an abundant thing you believe. I wonder I can't pour my rewards out on you as easy as I want to. If you're sitting there saying, I'm not really interested in it for that. Duh. Come on, Chandler. Wake up. How can I rich reward you so you can reward other people? I'm going to pour my rewards through you, Donald and Tanya. God would pour his rewards through you to reward other people. You're going to be the reward. Like when they have these, like the movie stars, and they have those rewards, you know, they stand up there and the person has, sometimes they have the person that runs the whole awards ceremony. It's like I see you guys having running the whole award ceremony. You hand out rewards for the Lord. Yeah, okay. Tonight, we are here gathered together. Thanks for everybody for being here. The award ceremony of the glory to God goes to, PGN tonight for being, you know, a prophet voice in the land. PGN, here's you $10 million to build your new building. That's a reward from God. And they say, well, where did that money come from? Donald and Tanya go, well, it came, you know, we had this thing, God bless us, and so we're just passing the rewards on, having an award ceremony. Now, that's part of our calling, and we're going to pass up the awards to God's servants, that however God tells us it. Because, you know, he awards us with this, so we can have an award ceremony to bring the rewards of God to God's people. Oh, wow. I want to do that. Donald and Tanya, can I work with y'all on that award ceremony committee? Yeah, handing out the rewards of the Lord. My God, that's awesome. Amen. All right, there you go, Donald and Tanya. Bless you guys. Monique, $300. Monique, thank you, Monique. Thank you, Jesus, for Monique. I thank you, Lord, for blessing her. I thank you, God, for her calling to be blessed. Monique, you have a calling to be blessed. If you have a calling to be blessed, it's because you have a heart to bless. Amen? You have a heart to bless. That's why you have a calling to be blessed. When God has called you to be blessed, it's because he's given you a heart to be a blessing. Like I just told Don and Tanya, that they're going to have that, not just financial blessing, but whatever the reward system is, God blesses them with the reward money, and then they hand the reward money from God through them, from the Holy Spirit, through them, what God brings them to reward God's people with the rewards that God's given to them, but it was for the people, because they're so rich and blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Monique, God. Open her up, God. Remove any fear, any intimidation, anything in her that says, oh, God, you know, I don't know if I can handle being that blessed. Lord, just remove that. Let her not come short of the glory, of the glory. Don't come short of the glory. Sin is coming short of the glory. Sin isn't just going out and stealing and cheating and lying. Sin is coming short of the glory. What's the glory? God's purpose and will for your life. Hallelujah. But we don't, like I've been, you know, cutting myself off. Because I'm sitting there saying, God, I'm not really doing this for the rewards. And God says, why not? I say, my word, you're hindering your own rewards, Randy. I'm going like, oh, okay, sorry. You're hindering the glory. I can't fulfill my glory through you, my purpose for you, because you're sitting there saying, you know, and the reward system is part of the way you get blessed to get my will done. And I'm like, God, well, why didn't you tell me that a long time ago? He said, I've been trying to tell you that for a long time. You weren't listening. Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, now that I'm getting it, I share it with others. He said, yeah, I know. That's what I'm telling you. I'm sure of my people. Monique, same thing with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, Nicole gave another $20.22. Thank you, Nicole, for 2022. This is 2022, the year of treasures, the year we're going to reward, you know, receive the reward of the Lord, the blessing of God, the integrity of God, the integrity of God. Let the integrity of God be Nicole's God. Let her integrity, let the integrity of God, not just her integrity, but the integrity of God be her, in Jesus' name. Integrity in 2022, the treasure of integrity, God, in the name of Jesus. Open that up, God, the glory of integrity from the Father, not just men's integrity, which is awesome, but God, the integrity of God. Hallelujah. Bless it, create it, cause it to be, God, to pass out your integrity in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. All right. All right. Okay, hang on a second here. Hang on a minute. All right, I'm checking everything here. Hang on a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, give me a second here. All right, thank you, Jesus. I mean, we've got a couple more people to pray over. We have John and Melissa, $12. Thank you, John and Melissa, for that. God bless you, Lord. I thank you for, in their life, God, I thank you, Jesus, for doing the very thing you're talking about with me and with other people tonight, that we're not going to be ashamed of the rewards anymore, that self-righteous thing in us that tries to tell us, you know, that God's rewards is some half-baked thing we get if we're greedy, and we only get it, we only, you know, whatever our thinking is. I thank you, Lord, that John and Melissa, God, will begin to be broken loose from that poverty mentality, God, into the blessing of God, to that creativity of heaven. Jesus, when their hearts will be crying out for the rewards of heaven, because you know what? I think a lot of people don't ask for rewards from heaven because they're not really doing much heavenly stuff. They're just doing a bunch of their own stuff. So they're not really believing God's going to reward them because they're not really doing, they don't really believe they're doing God's work. They think they're just doing their own work. How can God bless you for doing your own work? He doesn't. That's why we get into God's work, John. And you know that, and you're doing that. You're walking in that. We're walking in it more and more and more all the time. And I thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. God, see themselves as servants of God so that they can get the reward or the paycheck, get on God's payroll. Well, isn't that kind of like for special people to get on God's payroll? No. God's payroll is for everybody. God is our Father. He's our boss. He's our boss. He's our Father. He's the one with all the provision. Right? We get on his payroll. That's the way it's supposed to be. You want to be on the world's payroll or his? I think I'd rather be on his payroll. Not because it pays better, but because it's pure and beautiful and powerful. And we share in it together. He shows us what to do, and we do it. We're in partnership. Thank you, God, that John and Melissa learned how to work in partnership more and more and more, and better and better. Amen? Because they're a blessing. They're full of your glory. They're expecting God things, blessing things. In Jesus' name, they're not going to live short of the glory of God. They're going to walk in the glory, the fullness of God's blessing. Barely making it mentality, thinking that, you know, oh, I'm poor, and I'm just happy that I love Jesus. Well, that's good. Paul was content, you know, without anything, but he was also content when he had a lot. So Are we going to be content if we have a lot? That's what Paul said. Paul said, we get hung up on the part where Paul says, I'm content without anything. That's really the blessing. No, it's not. The blessing is everything that he said. What's everything Paul said? You know what he said? He said, I'm blessed whether I have nothing or have a lot or have an abundance. So what did Paul then? In other words, Paul knew how to, most people can conquer this. Well, I'm content if I don't have nothing. But they're really not content, because you can tell they're not content. You know why? Because when they're scared to death that God really blessed them, that they would get greedy and whatever. And they're scared to death of it. They can't handle it too much. I might turn into a wicked bad man like all these people I've judged of being wicked and bad because they got a lot of money. They're just dishonest. How do you know? How do I know? We don't know. Yeah. We know some people are. Of course they are. We've got to break that judgment spirit off of us so we can receive the blessing of God. So we're not we can be content with being really blessed as well as having nothing. The balance and the scales is being content with having nothing or having everything. Amen, John and Melissa. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray for Jeff and Yuki. Jeff has gotten caught some kind of something, you know. Nobody really knows exactly what it is, but he's been throwing up a little bit and been really busy and working hard. So pray for them that they will be blessed and kept. Amen. Watched over in Jesus' name. If they're in Thailand right now, they called in the show the other night, talked for a little bit. Well, thank you for Shannon. Thank you for that $15, Lord, for Shannon. And Titus. Also, Titus gave $20. I'm still not through yet. Sorry about that. Thank you, Lord, for that, for Shannon got it at $15. We thank you, Lord, for blessing him, for keeping him, for watching over him, causing him to be blessed. God, he's not ashamed of the blessings of God, that he's not afraid of having the most beautiful woman that he could ever have, beautiful in their heart, beautiful, whatever he thinks beautiful is, that he can have that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That he didn't have to fear, the fear of what am I doing, when they're going to love me, that whole thing. I thank you, Lord, for showing him his value. Show him his value in you, Jesus. Show him his value. His value, God. Show him his value. In the name of Jesus, show him his value in you, Lord God. For he will know how valuable he is. And that way other people will think he's valuable. That he will believe, that people believe he's valuable, because he knows he's valuable in you, Jesus. May his value become glorious. Hallelujah. And then you didn't put any note in there. Okay, here we go. Okay, you're going to, yes, pray and intercede for him. My friend Ted, she's, okay, I'm not going to read all that. Okay, she don't read. Okay. All right, there you go, my brother. Jesus' name. All right, Titus, tonight, Lord, Titus, $20, Titus. Thank you, Titus. We just bless you tonight, Titus. We thank you, Lord, for that overcoming heart God's given you to overcome things, to be a blessing, to be able to be intelligent, spiritually speaking intelligence, the intelligence of the Holy Spirit, not being afraid to be smart, because when you're smart with God, you do God things. You do smart God things. You're a wise virgin. Doing smart God things. And I thank you, Lord, for Titus. God, that she does smart God things. In Jesus' name, that you're opening her up to the smart realm of being smart. You know, like I'm talking about, like not just humanly intelligent, which I'm sure you are. I don't know you. But I'm talking about the smart realm of God. Creative. The creative genius in you awakening and arising in Jesus' name. And quit being afraid of being smart and being person who makes good decisions and wise decisions, and that can lead. It can lead the way, show the way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I can tie, just realize, God, that she's a leader. She can lead. She doesn't just have to, we follow the Lord, and to be a great leader, you have to be a great follower. But I thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, that Titus is not afraid to follow you. Because people can't see the Lord that you're following, they think you're leading. And really what you're doing is following, because they can't see the Lord that you're following. But I thank you, Lord, that she will take the courage to know that even though people can't see the Lord that she's following as a follower, that she will lead many in Jesus' name to follow Jesus, because she's leading by following the Lord who cannot be seen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open her up to that, God. Bless her. Encourage her. Show her the way, Jesus. Bless her money realm. Remove any fear of being blessed financially. Remove any fear, God, of being blessed financially in the name of Jesus. Remove every fear of being blessed and being smart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because it might intimidate some man or some person or whatever. Amen. Bless her, Jesus. All right, y'all. What a great night tonight. Really, really great night. And nobody else gives any more tonight or has anything else they want to share. I guess I'll call it a night. It's 12:18. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. Good job tonight, y'all. Thanks for, let me make sure I've prayed over everyone. I didn't forget anybody. Sometimes I do that, as you well know. Let me see, check, make sure. Okay, I think that's all in the app. Amen. Thank you for your giving tonight. God bless you. God open up for you the ways of his glory. May you exceed in abundance. Amen. In Jesus' name. In abundance of knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord God of heaven. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, everyone. I guess that's it. I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much. Like I said, pray for Jeff and you. They're in Thailand, and he's not been feeling well today. So I've been throwing up and stuff. He keeps telling me about it. Amen. So thank you for thinking about them. Pray for them. Hallelujah. I think I got everybody tonight. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to call it a night. Got a night. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Thank you so much for everything you do. And you're such a blessing. We really appreciate it. I'm going to call it a night tonight. Amen. Thank you. All right. Just a minute here. All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody. See you soon. If I don't see you on the moon, see you soon, soon, soon. Bye.